morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you are joining us. Happy Halloween, everyone. I know. I have no fun. I should have dressed up. The control room just pitched an idea to me, and they're about a couple of days past at this point. They should have pitched it to me sooner. I mean, it would have been great. We all could have been ice agents. They could have been ice agents. I could have been Christy Gnome. But here we are. Here we are.
You got the look.
It's not too late.
So wait, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Myself. I thought that was scary enough, Matt.
Yeah. I'm sticking with the monkey mask this year.
I'm going to need a photo of that. That should be pretty amazing. Well, listen, I mean, we're waiting to see what Christy Gnome is going to come out and say. We're waiting for her to give a press conference. She's in Illinois right now. As expected, Gnome is rejecting the Illinois governor's request to pause ICE operations. I believe she's going to be in Illinois for that one, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to cover the press conference she was at yesterday, though. So we'll be there for that. Also, the FBI, just a few moments ago, Kash Patel coming out, the director of the FBI, saying that they stopped potentially a terror attack on Halloween. Now, they're not giving you any details, which I do not like. I'm not going to get excited for this. As many of you guys know, the FBI has entrapped so-called terrorists, and then they claim to arrest those terrorists and foil their plots. But the reality of it is, in the past, we've seen that the FBI is the one behind the scenes doing the terror plotting and then immediately making the arrest. An interesting game they play. I also don't like the fact that Kash Patel came out with his statement, dropped it, and then ran away before giving us any details. He's done that to us before. I've told you guys about the whistleblowers when he came out and said that the whistleblowers, the FBI whistleblowers, were coming back. I called for comments, their attorneys, only to find out they were still on hold, waiting to speak to individuals. They were speaking to individuals at the DOJ, didn't actually have a deal mapped out. They quickly hung up on me, and that's when I knew Kash Patel was a little ahead of himself. That deal was then finalized a week later. And as many of you guys know, he also announced the arrest of a Charlie Kirk suspect. Individual was allegedly killed Charlie Kirk. Well, apparently that was not the case. And so we'll sit back and wait, but the FBI, even though it's under new leadership, has a habit of still misleading the American people. So we'll sit back and wait to see if there's a press conference coming. I did ask the FBI if they intend on having a press conference. No word back as of yet. But we're following a lot of things right now. We're following the government shutdown. We're in day 30 of that. A lot happening on that front. Democrats are really losing the argument because, again, they want to pretend like this is the Republicans who have been doing this. But in fact, it is, in fact, Democrats doing it. So they're being confronted with the facts by some unlikely characters, actually. So we look forward to bringing you the update on that. I'll also be bringing you an update on Arctic Frost. We're expecting more documents to be dumped very, very soon. But there's some things that we did learn, and you may have seen it on Alex's show yesterday. Once we came off air on this show, I did some digging, and we did find Alex's name in the latest document dump. So I'll bring a little bit about that in just a little bit. Also, James Comey, he wants the criminal charges against him dropped because he said Ted Cruz asked some very confusing questions, and he didn't mean to lie, just was confused. No, I'm serious, folks. That was just in the latest court filing from his attorneys. It's outrageous, but this is the new narrative that they're trying to spin up over there. Also, you know, obviously Indian nationals, I'll say, have a habit of scamming. We know this. Many of you at home have received the calls. But what if I told you that they were actually here in the United States trying to scam the American people out of CDLs? Yeah, well, it happens. It's happening. It's been going on for over a decade now. We've done some digging. And I've pulled up a lot of court records which prove just that. So I will be calling out the scammers today. It is a much bigger issue than just a couple of illegal aliens driving trucks through our country. It's bigger than that. There's a whole system that is absolutely corrupted. We look forward to exposing that on today's show. So there's a lot to dive into on that front. So don't go anywhere. We've got more American Journal coming your way. Also, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. I don't know how many more times I have to tell you this. We just launched the Android version. And if you haven't done so already, you got to download the app to stay in touch with us, of course. And then you get a cool 20% off promo code you can go use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And there's so many incredible items. We just launched Methylene Red, so grab some of that in the meantime. We'll be right back.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. I'm excited that you are all joining me. Happy Halloween. I'm sorry I didn't dress up for you. I actually never dress up for Halloween, but I just got pitched an actual great idea. And I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't do it, but we're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the world. We're going to be breaking down for you on this program. We're waiting to see. Kristi Noem, the secretary of DHS, is apparently rejecting the Illinois governor's request to pause ICE operations for Halloween. Yeah, you heard that right. So there might be a press conference held there. We will be looking out for that. We're also waiting to see. I've reached out to the FBI for comments because FBI Director Kash Patel put out a statement on X earlier today. And it has something to do with a terror attack that they're claiming that they ended. Like there was supposed to be a terror attack on Halloween and somehow they foiled it. So they're trying to take a victory lap here. Now this sounds great. I want to celebrate this obviously, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that, yeah, this is very likely. It's not. It's very likely because we have heard time and time again that the FBI prevented a terror attack. And then when you read through the court documents, you find out that the FBI was actually the ones who were plotting it with the alleged suspect. So again, we're going to wait to see that. We're also going to wait to see if he does have more details because time and time again, I keep catching Kash Patel putting out statements prematurely before there's even an actual fact to back up the statements he's making. I told you already about the FBI whistleblowers. He put out a statement saying they were coming back into the agency, that they have reached an agreement. That wasn't the case because I called their attorneys to get comments, and they were like, we're in a meeting right now with the DOJ. No, and hung up. But a week later, the deal was actually finalized. So Kash Patel has a habit of doing this, so tread lightly on that subject. Also, remember when he told you that the suspect who was allegedly involved in Charlie Kirk's assassination, well, that suspect wasn't arrested. He told you it was. So we tread lightly on these issues. We tread very, very lightly on these issues. So we'll keep our eye on that. But in the spirit of Halloween, President Trump and Melania Trump came back from Asia, but they actually had their event over at the White House yesterday, and they welcomed a bunch of really cute, spooky characters to the White House yesterday. Okay, this is my favorite. Not gonna lie. This mama really passed this one here. It's a McDonald's drive-thru with two kids in the cart. And you know, this was a way to win over President Trump's heart. It was actually very creative and really cool looking. I like this one. I also really liked this moment when President Trump started messing with this kid. He did this the first time over at the White House, his first term, where he places the treat or the candy on the kid's head and goes, go, don't drop it. Don't drop it. And you got to walk straight. And he watches and carries through. It's a great moment for the president. We love to see it, of course. We love to see everything that he's doing over there. I mean, the kids love it. I love to see it. It's even better because he's not creepy. There you go. This is the moment. This is Melania doing it. She had so much fun. The best part about this, folks, is none of these kids got sniffly yesterday. I know it's a bad joke to crack, but yeah, the creepy Joe Biden, who used to sniff children at the White House, not a single one of those children had to get sniffed yesterday. So that's the good news. That is the very good news. But we're keeping our eye on the White House. President Trump isn't staying at the White House today. According to his schedule, he will be heading. Oh, here you go. Oh, then he bites the kid. This is Joe Biden, in case you guys are listening audio only. He's biting and sniffing a child. Oh, creepy Joe. Creepy Joe. Yeah, there you go. That poor baby. Probably had to get a vaccine for rabies afterwards. But, folks, obviously a lot happening there. We're keeping our eye on President Trump's schedule as well, because he's not staying in D.C. today. He is heading over to the beautiful, beautiful West Palm Beach. He'll be at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. And he's earned it. He's earned it. I mean, he spent a lot of days over in Asia working out some big, big deals. And so this is good. We like to see this. So good on him. We'll follow him, of course, in case anything pops up there. But in case you haven't noticed, we're on day 30 of the government shutdowns. Now, it's been quite the interesting 30 days. Both sides are blaming each other. Democrats, I'd say, are the ones truly responsible for all of this. I don't think there's good guys on both sides. I don't really care enough about it. I could tell you this, though. This is strictly Democrats to blame. And that really doesn't have a lot of people, being very honest. It's so bad, though, right now, that Democrats are trying their very best to push this off as a Republican government shutdown. Right? They keep saying, oh, Republicans run all three branches of government. They're the ones who are doing the shutdown. But that's not what's happening right now. If you understand how, you know, government functions, you know, you need a couple of Dems to support it in the Senate. And they continue to reject the current CR. So when people like Hakeem Jeffries go on CNN and they try their very best to spew lies about all of this, it's really, really bad, because CNN is even like trying to fact check him in real time. And you know that's really bad when it's CNN. Take a listen.
Said that Mike Johnson's not willing to sit down and have a conversation. Y'all did have a phone conversation, I believe you said earlier today. Who initiated that call? Was that you or was that Speaker Johnson?
It was a call from Mike Johnson. It was very brief, and it wasn't a substantive discussion in terms of finding a path forward.
But was he calling to talk about the government shutdown?
I mean, you could say that that was in the ballpark, but, you know, it was a private conversation that will remain private. However, nothing meaningful came out of it, again, because Donald Trump has not given Mike Johnson permission to enter into a bipartisan negotiation. Caitlin, I mean, House Republicans have been literally on vacation for the last 5 weeks. They've canceled votes 5 consecutive weeks in a row. They are uninterested in doing anything other than jamming their partisan Republican spending bill down the throats of the American people. And as Democrats, we've made clear we will not support a partisan Republican spending bill that continues to gut the health care of the American people. Period. Full stop.
I love it when they end, period, full stop. It's so dramatic and theatrical, as if what he said had any actual value to it. He is full of it. You see, he doesn't want to tell you the reality is that Democrats don't want to come to the table on any of this. Illegal aliens is their red line. They want funding for their illegals. And guess what? President Trump's red line is not giving funding for illegal aliens. So things aren't looking too good. Things aren't looking too good. I want to play clip two for you because things, again, are getting so bad, that people like Senator Fetterman are calling out the radicals within their own party. But most importantly, he's telling you the unspoken truth. And that truth is that his fellow Democrats are afraid of those same radicals. Take a listen.
As a Democrat, I am incredibly, I've been disappointed, and I refuse to have a political gamble that's going to put those kinds of food security for 42 million Americans at risk on this. Now, some people might be afraid of the extreme left, but I am not one. I am not one of those Dems. And
did you hear that? Some in his own party might fear those radicals within their own party, but he's claiming he's not one of them. Well, that is incredible to hear, because for a very long time now, we've been telling you that the radicals within their own party, I would say the terrorists within their own party, are holding them hostage, and those also known as communists. And John Fetterman is telling you the quiet part out loud. His fellow Dems are afraid of them, because again, they are terrorists. So what you're seeing unravel here is obviously a big, big issue. It's so big right now that a lot of these big CEOs can't even front anymore. They understand what's going on here. And although they're not even into politics, the reality of it is the airline industry is in fact a good indicator of where our economy is heading. And this is going to eventually, if it keeps dragging on, is going to affect our economy. It's costing us billions and billions of dollars. But Democrats don't care because they'll just keep putting this on the presidency and saying that this is a stain on President Trump. But again, it's not that case. That's not the case. I want you to listen to clip three because the United Airlines CEO, Scott Kirby, is calling it out. And he's someone who's not even partisan. Take a listen.
It's putting stress on people. It's not fair to those people. It's also putting stress on the economy. You know, the first couple of weeks, this had no impact on the economy. But as every day goes by, the impacts start to grow. And airlines are a pretty good real-time indicator of the economy. And we start to see still minor, but steep booking impact. And you see that happening in the economy. We put the whole economy at risk. And so it's been 30 days. And while I don't have a position on which partisan side and how things should be settled with healthcare, it has been 30 days. I also think it is time to pass a clean CR. Use that as the opportunity to get into a room behind closed doors and negotiate hard on the real and substantive issues that the American people want our politicians on both sides of the aisle to solve.
Now, that's not what they're trying to do here, folks. They don't want to meet in the middle. And meet in the middle means not fund illegal aliens. Democrats have made that their top priority. Those are their voters moving forward. They don't want mass deportations. They're trying to slow it down to the best of their abilities. They are trying to cut back funding. And like I told you, there's thousands and thousands of applications pouring in for those who are looking to become ICE agents. Now that people aren't being paid, those who work within ICE, they are trying their best to make it look less desirable, those roles. It's one of the many layers to all of this. And again, Democrats have said the quiet part out loud, that this is their perfect opportunity to create this type of standoff. It's now or never. And they've said that to you. The whip leader has said that to you. We've heard that. Now, when it comes to all of this, many just are afraid. They are truly afraid. I want to play clip 14 for you. Because the Senate leader, Senator Thun, is calling out and trying to grill Democrats on their statements. Take a listen.
What's been said by some of the Democrat leadership here just in the last few days since the government actually shut down, that, of course, is the Democrat leader, Senator Schumer, who said every day gets better for us, commenting about the government shutdown. And my simple observation is, better for who? For you? Because you think you're winning politically? What about the air traffic controllers? What about the TSA agents? What about the American troops? What about our Border Patrol agents? What about the people who work in this building? What about the 40 million Americans that are going to not get SNAP benefits starting on Saturday if the government doesn't open up? But every day gets better, according to Senator Schumer. And then, of course, this last week, there was the House Democrat whip who said, of course, there will be families that are going to suffer, but it is one of the few leverage times we have. Of course, there are families that are going to suffer. Yeah, true. But doesn't matter because we got leverage. Then, of course, we have a third one here, one of our colleagues here in the Senate, the senator from Delaware, who said this in an interview. Frankly, this is our only moment of leverage, and although a very unpleasant tool to use. Yeah, it's unpleasant. It's unpleasant. Unless you're a Democrat who thinks that this gives you a moment of leverage.
They do deem this as a moment of leverage, and so they're going to continue the shutdown to go on because they don't care. These people don't care. You know, we live in crazy times because John Fetterman is getting extremely base these days. I don't even know how to describe it, right? Because I get it, right? He does live in Pennsylvania, so he does have to be moderate, although I've seen his voting records. It doesn't really match up to a lot of the things he says. But he's coming out here, and he's saying a lot. He's saying a lot. And you know it's going to tick those off on the left. So whether it's to gain political points or whether it's being authentic, I think it's a mix of both. I want you to listen to clip 15 because he's fired up and he's got a message for Dems. Take a listen.
We can't even get our shit together and just open up our government.
Schumer said this gets better politically every day for Democrats. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, ask the hungry people on Saturday. You know, it's like, that's the thing. You know, Americans are not leveraged. This is not some shitty game show about who's winning or whatever. It's just like we have to be better than this and just open this up. And I do, you know, talk to any number of Republicans who they agree that we have this conversation about extending these tax credits.
Yeah. This man is probably the only logical one right now that they have on board in the Democratic Party. They have shifted so far, commie, that people like him sound reasonable. I mean, this was a guy who I used to crack jokes on for never really having a real job, never dressing appropriately for work, being a liberal, but he now looks moderate, folks. He now looks moderate. President Trump has had enough. He's seen enough. He's ready for the nuclear option. You heard when we had Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on this program. She was ready for this weeks ago. President Trump took to Truth Social yesterday to sound off on the issue. And it's quite fascinating because, again, you know, a lot of people don't like the nuclear option. But here he is. Get rid of the filibuster and make America great again. That is what President Trump is now calling on. So here we go, heading into November 1st, when these EBT cards aren't going to load up. The endless threats on social media of these individuals who have been freeloading off the government, telling us that they are going to start attacking and robbing us. Democrats would love that. They would love that. President Trump, done. Don't even work with these people. Get the nuclear option. Let's go. Let's move on. I love this image. I'm all in for it at this point. These people are scumbags. Move on. Can't work with them. They're communists. Speaking of communists, let's turn to another story, because we've been digging into Arctic Frost. Yesterday when we wrapped up the show, I went and we did some digging, and we found out that one of our very own was again in the document dump. Alex Jones was in, I think it was like page 578 of the 1700 pages. Alex, 558. Thank you, Matt. We found Alex Jones's name in it. And lo and behold, it is a subpoena. Oh, wait, I've got it. I brought this into work today. It's in my bag with everything else. It is a subpoena. And if you're wondering what they were trying to, as I fold the papers, this is the most unprofessional thing one could do. Sorry, folks.
Document game, please.
Here we go here. Oh, look who it is. Mr. Alex Jones. You're wondering what they were looking for. They were looking for his communications with Event Strategies, Inc. Now, of course, this has to do with the organizing of the permitted J6 rally. Not just the boss man, it's also Roger Stone, General Michael Flynn, John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, Kimberly Guilfoyle, and so many people you probably have heard of before. They wanted their communications. I'm pretty sure, because I have not spoken to Alex, I'm pretty sure when I was on his show, though, the other day, when we talked about his name popping up. Sorry, this paper looks so bad on it, toss it aside. His name popping up in the first drop that came from Chairman Jim Jordan's office. He said that was the result likely of, and we still haven't gotten the information on this, but we're looking into it, of a subpoena that he challenged when they wanted his communications, and the court sided with Alex. So it's very likely that it was the subpoena he was referring to here. Now, keep in mind, we found this just the day before, and you'll notice that there is an attorney's name cited in the left column. And then it looks like it's like a response email. The subject line is Alex Jones' cell phone. So if you put it all together and I had to make an assumption, and again, this is my opinion, I would tell you that it looks like, based on our findings so far, as we continue to dig into this a little bit, that it looks like the government was unable to get a copy of Alex's cell phone records, his communications. And so there may have been, in my opinion, this is not factual because we do not have the evidence to back this up, there may have been an attorney who may have forwarded it over. And we don't know if it was requested. We don't even know if this is an email. I've called. I spoke with my sources. They're digging into this for us. But essentially, it's not going to go unsolved. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And we've talked about it before. We talked about how the J6 committee was able to get their hands, little grimy hands on certain things, and they wanted to hand it over to the FBI because the FBI didn't have the legal authority to obtain those things. Phone records, things of that nature. Adam Kingsinger was looking to do just that, according to reports. And so we sit back and we go, Arctic Frost. It looks like all of these people who were involved in Arctic Frost were just trying to find ways to go around not obtaining warrants, not going to actual judges for these things. Unless, of course, you're Judge James Boasberg. Then you'll let it slide. You don't need to see much. You don't need to see much. We heard that he was the individual responsible for not telling Senator Ted Cruz, that they were looking to tap his lines. I want you to listen to clip 4 because Congressman Byron Donalds has seen enough and he wants Boasberg out. Take a listen.
We should know. Number one, I think it was Judge Boasberg was the judge who signed off on all this stuff. He needs to lose his seat as a judge. Right. That needs to go. Number two, they need to be called into Congress. But the third part is, because Congress will happen, we'll do that stuff. The Department of Justice is really going to have to go through this. And if there were criminal violations, they have to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. This is worse than Watergate. As much as everybody wants to talk about Watergate and everything around Richard Nixon, this is significantly worse because while they were using the judicial system to go after their political rival, they were also in the background protecting Joe Biden from the American people with the Auto Pen investigation and then silencing the American people through social media, strong-arming media companies to silence the voices of Americans. This is the most corrupt presidential administration, the Biden administration, in the history of our country. Heads need to roll.
Yeah, that did happen. All of that happened. So yeah, heads do need to roll. We're hopeful that's going to take place. It looks like, though, according to reports, there's some changes being made, but not enough. We'll have Mike Howell join the show in a little bit later in the program because he's sounding off. He's over at the Oversight Project. And not enough. People are being tossed from the FBI. Now, we are hearing reports that those who were involved have since been fired, but not everyone. Not everyone. And Mike's going to sound off on just that. But in the meantime, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because you're going to notice we're having a party over there. It's 25% off site-wide right now for Halloween. So claim your 25% off promo code, or you don't even need a code, just 25% off. Head on over right now. Get yourself some methylene red right now. We just launched that this week, and now it's 25% off for today only, it looks like. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And celebrate Halloween with us. It's actually really cool because when you're going through the items, they have all these bats that fly around the website. So that's the reason you should also go in case you haven't done so already. All right, do that right now. In the meantime, though, we have a lot more to dig into, and I'm very excited that you are all joining us. James Comey's trying to come up with a lame excuse. He wants the charges against him dropped. You're wondering why, because he said, well, Ted Cruz asked some really confusing questions. And apparently that should be enough to drop the charges. I'll bring you the very latest on his latest court filing. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a few moments.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence. And you hear him more and more saying the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and LA anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true. Because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 million people. And all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. They believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Friday, everyone. Happy Halloween. Got some spooky things going on over here, specifically with the deep state operatives, of course. We're excited that you're joining us. I'm keeping my eye, though, on the FBI right now. FBI Director Kash Patel, a couple of hours ago, said on X that there was some type of terror attack that has been stopped by the agency. Now, of course, folks, I tell you, approach with caution here, especially in the Michigan area, because the FBI field offices there are historically known for setting up and entrapping individuals into these terror so-called plots. So we'll wait to see. There's a press conference. I hope there is. We look forward to bringing you just that. Again, though, the FBI director has a history of jumping the gun, putting things out there before that they are fully ready to be released. Remember, I mean, he was the one who told you that they arrested the suspect in the Charlie Kirk assassination just a couple of hours after Charlie was dead. That was not true. I also caught him putting out a statement about the FBI whistleblowers prior to that deal being finalized. It wasn't finalized until a week later. So tread lightly, and we will keep our eye on that, of course. But I've also got my eye on something else, and it's the former guy, James Comey, who used to run the FBI. He is obviously facing criminal charges. As many of you know, he was indicted for lying and being a liar, giving false statements to Congress. But he just released a defense, I guess, yesterday in his court filings. He claimed that Ted Cruz asked some really confusing questions And that's the reason why the charges should be dismissed. No, seriously, folks, if you actually read through this, it's about, I think, 29 pages long, like I did. He's ultimately saying that Ted Cruz kind of confused him. He was asking so many questions. That's his defense. Comey's lawyers assert that his response to Cruz's questions were literally true and insufficient to support a conviction. They are asking for this to all be dismissed. Now, they also say that these were cherry-picked statements that are being used against him. And they want to emphasize that the criminal law principles demand questioners frame those questions clearly to avoid forcing witnesses to just guess. Yeah, that's what he's going with here. Not true. Not true at all. But again, this is what's going on right now with James Comey. I mean, he's trying his very best to get all of this dismissed. He's even challenging whether it's legitimate, given the woman who's running the U.S. Attorney's Office over there in Virginia. So this is like him just grabbing for anything at this point. One would think that he should be thankful, honestly, for just this being the criminal charges he's facing right now, because he's done significantly worse, in my opinion. And this is like, this is the bottom of the barrel when you're trying to grab for something to throw at this guy. So again, he's not very happy about this. But speaking of that, I've been keeping an eye on a lot of these trucker stories. We keep hearing on these stories about illegal aliens getting behind these semis and driving them all around our country. Of course, liberal states like New York and California and Illinois have no problem giving foreigners who they can't even vet the documents that they're turning over for these licenses, that they're legitimate, they even lie for them. They say that, oh yeah, they are proficient in English, and they're not. They're not. And sadly, we only find out when it's too late. But thankfully, DHS is not going to have that anymore. And they actually held a press conference yesterday, and it was aligned with the Indiana State Police. Now, they said that they had a good time trying to bust illegal aliens who were driving cars and being transported all around Northwest Indiana, yesterday. And ultimately, they apparently captured 223 illegal aliens on the highway. Now, this includes 146 truck drivers, according to them. And a lot of these individuals are coming from these states that are just popping out these CDLs, no questions asked. Chicago's Operation Midway Bliss, that's what they called it. Now, according to some of those arrests that were made during all of this, they ended up running to a couple of criminals who had priors regarding DUIs, drug trafficking, theft, burglary, assault, child abuse, domestic battery, and prostitution, and fraud. Now, more than 40 had commercial driver's licenses. And again, comes from these states, California, Illinois, New York. They are just giving these licenses out to anyone who strolls in. No care in the world about how dangerous this is, of course. And this issue is much bigger than just what you're hearing now. You know, I'm sitting back and I'm watching because the transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, is out here and he's issuing threats, pulling funding from California. That's one. DHS also is suing New York over its green light law where they're just popping out these driver's licenses to illegal aliens. So that's another angle from all of this. But Sean Duffy has a new idea that he's looking to implement in Clip 5. I want you to take a listen to just that.
If it doesn't get rectified by the state of California and other huge violators, other states, we're going to pull their ability to actually issue a CDL. You can't issue a commercial driver's license any longer. We're going to go after the schools that don't test these drivers to make sure they're proficiently equipped to operate these big rigs on our roads. We're going to go after them. We're going to go after every link in the chain that's allowing this to happen because, I mean, you play these clips on your show, Will. It is horrific.
Okay. Did you hear that? They're going to start going after the schools. Now, you probably didn't know what's actually going on. Okay. The most recent arrest that we've seen regarding truck drivers who are illegal aliens, and they go out there and sadly they kill people because they don't know what they're doing. They don't speak English. They're not proficient in English. They don't understand our laws, and they lack common sense. These low IQ'd individuals who are getting behind the wheel of semi-trucks, these individuals are, they don't care. There's no empathy. We've allowed them into our country, and they're taking advantage of the system. But this isn't anything new. This isn't anything new. Now, I've reached out to the Department of Transportation because I'm looking for statistics as to how many more of these illegal aliens under the Biden administration were causing wrecks like that, because they tried their very best to not tell us the immigration status of those who were arrested for crimes. The Biden regime, whenever I'd reach out, would never answer that question. So I've reached out to the Department of Transportation to see if they have that data. Unfortunately, they did not get back to me, but we'll continue to dig into that because I think that is a massive issue. These issues just didn't randomly start under President Trump. It's very likely that the last administration was covering for these illegal aliens as they were going around and killing innocent people. But again, this isn't a new issue. You see, those who come from India have been scamming us for quite some time now. Not just, obviously, your typical phone scams, typical email scams. They've been scamming the American people. Again, let me say, they have been scamming the American people out of these CDLs. And it's well orchestrated. You just heard the transportation secretary say it, Sean Duffy. He's going to go after the schools. The schools are a major issue. And if you're wondering how major, all you have to do is just look at the last 10 years in California. There's been multiple arrests. So far, I've looked into over a half a dozen indictments, convictions. Indian nationals are coming to our country, ripping off our system so they could drive our trucks whenever they want. And they're all doing it together. It's a well-orchestrated job. Just between 2015 and 2022, there's been multiple arrests, of course. But you could just widen that net a little bit. So if I go and I search, this is what I was doing yesterday. I was searching those in California who have been convicted over the last 10 years of getting these CDLs, giving out these CDLs, and who was a part of all of it. Well, to my surprise, first off, they all have the same last names. But so many of these individuals who are owning trucking schools throughout the state of California have been indicted and convicted of trying to bribe the DMVs to give these illegal aliens who cannot read English, who cannot pass a test, their CDL. Now it gets worse. There's more and more names. You will continue to go through it and cycle through it. I also posted some of them on X as well because there were just so many criminal indictments. One of these convicted individuals was apparently the owner of a trucking school in Sacramento. He was indicted and charged on conspiracy, bribery, and fraud. Again, another one was doing the same exact thing, bribing DMV employees, and he pled guilty. Another one. I mean, you just keep going through it. The list is endless at this point. And again, admitted to accepting bribes to obtain, this is a DMV employee who's also Indian, admitted to accepting bribes to obtain CDLs for unqualified drivers. I mean, I was just going through all of these accusations. We could sit here and map it all out for you. All you have to do, if you want to look this up yourself, fact check me, do it. Go over to Google. Just type in Indian, arrested, charged, whatever you want to say it, for handing out CDLs in California. And bam, you'll just see a bunch of stories populate over the last 10 years. California knows this is going on. They probably just don't want to call it out because, again, you don't want to be called a mean name. But there's a consistency here. They are helping illegals who are Indian get these licenses by companies that are owned by Indians. The DMV employees are Indian, the ones that we've seen thus far. And then the trucking companies they're working for are, get this, owned by Indians. The scamming amongst these people is extensive. I mean, just look at this. We'll just keep scrolling. This was me all day yesterday. There was tons and tons of content when you just look about who's ripping off the DMVs. This isn't anything new. This has been ongoing for over a decade now. I mean, again, I could just pull up one article. And sadly, these people just keep complying with this. Two pleaded guilty to a scam to bribe DMV employees to issue commercial driver's licenses. Four others charged. Two defendants, including a California DMV employee, pleaded guilty on Tuesday. This was back in 2015, to charges stemming from a scheme to sell commercial driver's licenses to buyers who never took the required tests. In addition to Tuesday's guilty pleas, four more individuals, including two other DMV workers, were charged in a 17-count indictment unsealed on Friday. Now, this investigation was being led by ICE, HSI, and obviously the DMVs in California. And according to their court records, this was all taking place between 2011 and 2015. The owners of these three truck driving schools acted as a broker, accepting money from individuals who wanted to obtain Class A CDL without taking and passing the required written and behind-the-wheel tests. The broker used the money to bribe DMV employees to enter false information into the DMV's database, indicating that individuals had passed the test. This resulted in the DMV issuing official driver's licenses to individuals who were not qualified to receive these licenses. And you just look at the names. And again, you just keep clicking around. The driver schools have been convicted of this. DMV employees have been convicted of this. And then a lot of the trucking companies are Indians. I'm assuming that they're looking out for their own there. Another individual was sentenced, this was back in 2019. This is according to our own federal government, the DOJ's website, was sentenced today to 3 years and 3 months in prison for participating in a scheme to bribe DMV employees to provide California commercial driver's licenses to unqualified drivers. He pleaded guilty to conspire to commit bribery, to commit identity fraud, and to commit unauthorized use of a computer. Why is it that when they come into our country, they're still scamming us? The list goes on. And we're just like working our way through it. So for those of you at home right now who are sitting there going, oh, there's no way. No, there is a way. This has been going on for quite some time. Even another story in 2022. Again, another Indian. And I don't know what their official immigration status is of those who own the companies who are charged in this situation. But I could tell you, that those who are there helping scheme the system are Indian. The companies are being owned by Indians. And then they all have the same last name. Doesn't mean that they're family. Maybe they are. But again, this list goes on and on and on. Some of our own government's been accusing them for quite some time now. And many have been convicted of these crimes. And it's really bad because I don't think people understand the long-term issue to all of this. If we have DMVs that are just popping out these licenses and allowing these individuals to run semis all around our country, as someone who sat back for over the last 4 or 5 years and watched the Biden regime brought in all of these illegal aliens who we didn't know what countries they were coming from, but they came from countries that hate us, it is very likely that we just brought in a group of people who are likely going to carry out a terror attack here on U.S. soil. In fact, I know Joe Kent keeps signing off on all of this by putting out all of this information out there and telling you, the American people, that it's very likely that they are plotting an attack because these Islamists are posting this online. They are threatening us online. There was just another one that I just posted, Sarah Adams sharing this, that there is very likely going to be a homeland attack. And we know this because Joe Kent over at DNI with Tulsi Gabbard is putting out the information that you and I both need to see all of this. Now, it's not just them. I want to play clip 6 for you because clip 6 is the individual who's running ICE right now who wants to tell you that it's very likely that with all of this going on right now with the CDLs, that they are very likely going to be using these trucks to carry out terrorist attacks all across the country. Take a listen.
It is also part of our national security mission with ICE because millions of illegal aliens that came to the United States under the last administration were unvetted. The problem is we don't know what they're carrying across state lines in an 18-wheeler. Terrorists will stop at nothing to harm the United States, and it's well within the realm of possibility that some of these trucks and some of these semi-trucks that are traversing our nation's highway could be carrying toxic chemicals, bombs, or God knows what.
It is very likely that that is what's taking place. You see, we've imported a group of people that hate this country. They hate the West. They hate you if you're Christian, Jewish, Hindu. They hate all of it. And so right now we're all just sitting ducks at this point. Because the DMVs are just popping out these licenses like it's nothing. You know, we've reported, I've reported it. As egregious as it is, our New York is giving out driver's licenses to illegal aliens without even knowing their first names. No name is listed on the driver's licenses. We've seen two cases of those. The DMV in New York saying, oh yeah, 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 that's real. It's not fake. Yeah. I mean, we're following the rules. We're allowed to give them no name IDs, but you better get your real ID. The absurdity is really off the charts here, folks, but this is what's going on right now in our country. We need to be outlining this because the threat is real. It is happening. And right now we're all just sitting around waiting to see if something does take place. I want to turn to an announcement that came out yesterday. It was a report initially from Fox. According to their sources, there's an ongoing investigation into Black Lives Matter. The DOJ is investigating whether top officials over at BLM misled donors who contributed tens of millions of dollars during the 2020 protests. Huh. Wouldn't that be strange? Subpoenas and at least one search warrant have been issued in the recent weeks. It's all part of their probe to go after the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Inc., and other groups that fueled the mass protests over police violence and racism. That's according to the Associated Press. According to them also, this is all being ran out of the Central District of California, U.S. Attorney's Office right now. Now, in case you didn't know, BLM raised over $90 million in donations in 2020 after George Floyd overdosed on fentanyl. Now, that's not what the Associated Press said. That's what I'm telling you. Again, the foundation faces financial scrutiny after many accused them of misusing money. In 2022, the BLM foundation leaders acknowledged using donations to buy a $6 million property in Los Angeles. Now, that pad included six beds, six bedrooms, and six bathrooms. Must be nice. Must be nice to be a Marxist. Now, again, the woman you see on your screen right now, she was the one who was running BLM at the time. She has since resigned because, well, obviously it's very controversial, her personal real estate purchases, claiming that this was all done to improve their group. So not really surprising, folks. Not really surprising. I'm going to turn to another story. This is good news. This is very good news. According to BX on X, which I highly recommend you give her a follow if you haven't done so already, she's one of the very few people going out there and going after pedophiles. And I love reading her content because she is the only journalist I know who is out there and fighting these individuals who are causing harm. They are targeting her. And she's a great person, but she has some good news for us. It makes me feel a little optimistic. In a tweet thread that she posted yesterday on X, she announced that the DOJ has officially brought on terrorism charges against a member of 764. Now, in case you didn't know who they are a pedophile satanic group that operates on the dark web mainly. They also have multiple group chats where they send back content back and forth. They target children. I don't think I've ever said it publicly, but they also tried to add me to their Telegram group chat as well, sending me death threats as well. They are viciously going after BX on X as well. They are a vicious group of individuals, and they commit disgusting, disgusting, repulsive crimes against children. All of them should be executed publicly at this point. Many are overseas, and so it's very difficult for the FBI to get them. There are some based here in the United States, and this individual, who is now accused of committing heinous crimes, is being charged as a terrorist. This individual's name is 21-year-old Baron Martin. He was just indicted on 29 felony counts, including sexually exploiting children, cyber stalking, animal crushing. I can't even tell you that story without crying. Conspiracy to commit murder, wire fraud, and provoking material support to terrorists. I'm going to give you some of the details from this indictment. I read through like half of it and I had to stop because it's really, really upsetting. But according to the DOJ, they are alleging that this individual targeted children online, had them sending him videos of them committing heinous crimes against themselves. One of the videos, apparently, according to the indictment, alleges that they had him, or they had this child carving swastikas into their, the symbols itself, I'm sorry, into their body. Another accusation that this individual is facing is graphic, so I'll spare you the graphic part, but killing one of their family pets and feeding it to another family pet. The X on X, if you haven't followed already, please do address that. She's the only one out there fighting. She is fighting the good fight against this. Again, this is a very important thing. I think she was the one who mainly put this on the FBI's radar as well. Cash Patel speaking highly of, well, not directly her posting, but he's the one who's now putting a bigger kind of platform for this group. And it's all thanks to the incredible work that she's done. Again, they're going after children, and to me, there's nothing more heinous than that. Folks, if you have kids, you got to have a conversation with them. These are people online who gather information that's publicly available, and they do threaten them. They are apparently, others who have been indicted apparently were swatting their homes, the victim's homes, so they knew that we know where you live, forcing them to send back images of themselves, videos of themselves doing embarrassing things. And so they're blackmailing these children. You got to have a talk with your kids. If your child finds themselves in this situation, they need to not be embarrassed. They need to ask for help. It only gets worse. It only gets worse. But thankfully, it looks like the FBI is stepping in now. And one so far has been charged as a terrorist, and he's probably going to spend the rest of his life in prison if convicted on all of these allegations. I would love to just see him get put to death at that point if he's convicted. All right, we got a lot more happening here on the American Journal. Do not go anywhere. We're going to kick off the second hour with a bunch of wild stories. Also, Dan Lyman, one of our very own reporters, will be joining me in a little bit as well. He's got a lot that he's been covering, and I look forward to having him on the show to break down his latest reports over on Infowars.com. If you haven't done so already, we're celebrating Halloween over at the AlexJonesStore.com. We're giving you 25% off right now. That's a great discount that you could use to purchase some methylene red, what we just launched earlier this week. I've got mine here. That's what I've been using all morning today. Head on over to the website, grab some methylene red, pair it up with the methylene blue. One of you actually just called me out on X and said if you pair up both and you put it together, you could get methylene purple. Now, I don't know how that's going to taste, but head on over to the shop right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and grab yourself some methylene red with methylene blue. 25% off just today only. So do just that right now.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of methylene blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shield your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
Batman, the Bat computer's picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be Ultra Methylene Red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and
drive your brain batty with brilliance? Ultra Methylene Red, of course.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're joining us here in the second hour of the program. Dan Lyman, one of our very own InfoWars reporter, will be joining us in the second half of this hour. Look forward to having him on. He's got a lot that he's been digging into for InfoWars.com. And I love it when he comes on and joins us because he's a very busy man. But most importantly, he breaks down the headlines for all of us at home to understand what he's been working on. We love just that. If you haven't done so already, every morning wake up and just go to InfoWars.com and read all of our articles. We do an incredible job. And by we, I mean they do an incredible job at detailing all the stories that you won't see anywhere else. So make that a part of your daily habit every single day. We've got a great team of writers who do just that. And speaking of that, we've got a lot that we're going to be digging into today. A lot going on. Zohra Mahdani is still on my mind because it's going to be like a massive, massive story. So I've got some latest on that. And it's not looking good for New York right now. But most importantly, like the individual who's running against Zohra Mahdani is actually like very unhinged, and he calls himself a Republican. We've got the soundbite of him yesterday, like sounding off and going nutsos on a Newsmax anchor for simply asking questions that actually make sense. So we'll play that for you later in the program, of course, and well, I should say in just a few moments. But also, D.C. crime is out of control. We've told you that before, but Judge Jeanine is calling it out. She's doing an incredible job over as the U.S. attorney in the D.C. area. Like literally an incredible job. She is fighting the fight, the good fight. She's got a bunch of liberal judges that she's working against. And obviously the city council in DC is an absolute nightmare. And she's airing it all out. She did an incredible job yesterday at a press conference. And we look forward to having that soundbite for you all in just a bit, because even the parents of one of the victims is sounding off as well. Plus, Prince Harry is no more Prince Harry. They actually just took away his title. I'll give you the latest on that, because that should be extremely, extremely interesting. Plus, we got a couple more headlines we're diving into as well. My producer just snuck in this headline, and we'll have to give you the details later. It just says, Banana Man's gold toilet.
Oh, yeah, this one was on my radar.
So Matt snuck this into the show. I haven't run into this one. It looked interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Maurizio Catalan, he's the artist behind the really famous duct tape banana modern art piece. And one of his earlier pieces that he made in 2016 named America, which is a gold toilet made out of 223 pounds of 18 karat gold, is about to go up for sale at Sotheby's.
Wow.
And I'm just wondering if Trump's going to do the right thing and purchase it and place it in the newly renovated wing of the White House.
Ah, I like that. Yeah, I think that'd be great. That'd be great for the ballroom. They should actually just put it in the middle of the ballroom. Okay, that is pretty cool. I actually kind of want that. What's the going rate for golden toilet these days? Do we know, Matt?
Well, I would say that the weight of the gold is worth like $10 million, but it's expected to sell for much more. I mean, if a banana is gonna get you $6.2 million, I'm thinking probably they're probably gonna be able to double it, right? $20 million. Let's start taking bets. Ooh, I'm gonna put a poll out on the Twitter.
Let's do that. Let's put that up on the Twitter page for InfoWars and see what you guys all think at home. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely use a gold toilet in my bathroom. Just the only problem I'd have with that is when the toilet is worth more than the home. Probably not a good investment, but also it kind of is. It kind of is. And if you have to, you know, go through financial difficulties and melt down a toilet, I'm sure that's, never mind. I'll spare you of the bad joke. All right, folks, we got a lot happening in the second hour of the show. Also, in the third hour of the show, I'm joined by two incredible guests. My good friend Sarah Gonzalez is joining us because we've got a lot to sound off on Democrats, their outrageousness, their craziness, and the lies, because the lies are being exposed, and they're being exposed by their fellow Democrats. That's how radical the party has become, that those that you and I both have deemed as radical Democrats, they actually look moderate these days, and they're calling out the communists within their own party. Which is going to be very fascinating. Also, Mike Howell joining the show as well, because he's calling out the FBI for not doing enough to purge out those that were part of Arctic Frost. So he'll be joining us to sound off on just that. So don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in just a few moments.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening around the country that we're recapping for you, of course. And that Arctic Frost document dump, apparently there's more documents coming our way very soon. It's supposed to get worse before it gets better. And by better, I mean we're hoping better means indictments, arrests, prison time. That's the hope. But a lot happening there on that front. We're excited that you're joining us. Dan Lyman will be joining us in the second half of this hour to break down the very latest headlines that he's following over at Infowars.com. As many of you guys know, we have a group of incredible reporters that work here at Infowars, writers who do a great job. So make that a part of your daily routine when you head on over to Infowars.com for the very latest. Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about Zohran Mamdani. I've been talking about it for months now. It's kind of exhausting, but the reality of it is we've got a communist jihadist who's now, in my opinion, going to be making his way into the mayor's office in New York City. Concerning considering the fact that he will have access to the NYPD's counterterrorism database. He is someone who came into our country, who was not a U.S. citizen until 2018. And somehow, some way, someone who becomes a citizen in 2018 is able to run for office in this country. What the heck are we doing here? Things are getting really bad, though. Billionaires are spending a lot of dough to make sure that they can't get this guy into that position. I think it's a little too late. But super PACs that support Andrew Cuomo and oppose Zohran Mamdani for New York have raised over $40 million. Billionaires are literally funneling in so much money. Bill Ackman, William Walter, Barry Diller, Steve Wine, again, all pouring money in to prevent this guy from taking over. Now, it's really bad. Like, it's really, really bad. And it's so bad that I have to play the soundbite of the Republican candidate. His name is Curtis Leewall. Now, Curtis, I believe, is a good-hearted person. I believe that he's running because he's a good-hearted person. But I also believe that he doesn't see reality. The Republican Party as a whole in New York is an absolute embarrassment. Obviously, I'm from New York. I was going to run for the state Senate, but after realizing how corrupt the local GOPs were when they wanted me to bring on board individuals who had a history of losing, if I had their endorsement, I had to hire their own people. And that's one of the commitments that they laid out for me, that I had to bring on their people if I wanted their endorsement. Obviously, I don't play those games, and so I just bowed out and just left. It's a very corrupt system. It's broke on the Republican end of all this because they don't control anything. And so people aren't really donating to the party itself. They claim to be fighters, but reality is they just have the stance of, well, are things really bad in New York? If so, vote for us. Might get better. They've been playing this game for many, many years now. And sadly, it has not worked. So they're not going to change it anytime soon because that would be a winning mentality. It's so bad, though, that the group, the Republican Party itself in New York, almost went bankrupt until President Trump stepped in and helped them out with the fundraiser. I believe they raised like $1 million when President Trump made his way to New York to help them out. And that kept them afloat. So it's really, really bad in the state of New York. And it's so bad that nobody wants to run for mayor on the Republican ticket because it's a losing situation. So like I mentioned, Curtis Leewall, again, I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's been doing this for way too long, though. I think the costume is over the top at this point, no longer the 90s. We could do better. But he is very unhinged when he's asked basic questions, but I would say a very fair reporter over at Newsmax. Take a listen to clip 7 and how upset he gets when he's confronted with the basic facts that the numbers do not align with him getting any type of opportunity to have a victory. Take a listen.
In November, why aren't you on the phone with the White House asking the president to come endorse you and campaign with you in his hometown, New York City?
I welcome the presidential endorsement. He first saved Eric Adams from going to jail. The guy was the most crooked mayor in the history of New York City. That's the other guy who put us into this mess. If Eric Adams had been a halfway decent mayor, it would have been round two, like in 2021, the incumbent Democrat, Eric Adams versus Curtis Sliwa. So Adams and Cuomo got us into this mess, and you want me to jump onto a parachute?
No, no, I'm not asking you to jump out, but you sound like a defeated man already, and it's not even election day. Curtis, 2021,
I'm defeated. 20 hours a day of a 24-hour a day.
I'm not disputing that you're out there every day.
Your candidate, Cuomo, has been off the campaign trail for 10 days, according to the New York Post. Don't say I'm a defeated candidate because I'm fighting for Republican principles, law and order principles, quality of life principles. Maybe you like living in a city where they lock up toothpaste and don't lock up criminals.
But that's not because
of Andrew Cuomo and Zohran Mamdani.
I do not, Curtis, like Rudy Giuliani did in 1993.
Why is Rudy Giuliani supporting me? Why is Governor Pataki supporting me? Because they know the answer is Sliwa for mayor, Republican, 2025, Elise Stefanik for governor to take out Hochul 2026, and we get New York State, New York City back on track. What's wrong with you people?
Yeah,
you want to become Democrats?
Go ahead.
You'll be run by socialists.
We're going to be run by socialists. And don't for a second assume that I want Andrew Cuomo to win this race. But in 2021, you had the two-man race. You only got 27% of the vote head-to-head against Eric Adams, and the numbers look even worse this time around.
Those are the facts. Not everyone likes the facts, though. Curtis Sliwa, again, I don't think he's a bad person. I just don't think he likes the facts. The reality of it is he is going to lose this race. It is going to be by massive, massive numbers. And again, I mean, I don't think bowing out of the race is, at this point, going to do much. Early voting already started. Eric Adams doing his best to save the city. He has backed Andrew Cuomo. Again, I don't endorse Andrew Cuomo because it's like so awful. This man has been so bad for the state of New York. He is a criminal himself. But when you compare the both of these guys, both I think are communists. But most importantly, when you compare the fact that we have a jihadist who is going to be getting access to the NYPD counterterrorism database if he is given this role, compared to the guy who killed Grandma, Grandpa, I don't know where to go. It's like they've got us backed into a corner because things are so bad in New York. Republicans could have done a better job of getting a better candidate into that slot, but they chose not to. Curtis Sliwa has a history of losing, and it was really, really bad against him and Eric Adams. And he's a Trump hater. I mean, you heard the obnoxiousness in his tone when you first started that clip about how he thought, yeah, if he wants to endorse me, let him endorse me. Excuse me, sir? President Trump doesn't owe you nothing. You were about to lose by historic numbers, because you're unrelatable, because you walk around New York City with a costume on, because you're a cat man, you're a little weird. He should have retired a long time ago. He's done great things for New York back in the day, but this isn't the same New York City. And he's not going to win. The numbers are not on his side. They're not on Andrew Cuomo's side either, but guess what? Andrew Cuomo, according to one of the latest polls, if Curtis drops out, is only about 4 points away from taking on Mamdani. So yes, there are calls for Curtis to step away, to bow out. And although I think it's really crappy to sit there and say, yeah, he probably should bow out, he should bow out. Folks, we are in a national security issue when it comes to Zohran Mamdani getting in. People waited too late to jump on board and call him out. He is a jihadist, in my opinion. He is a horrible human being. They slapped a suit on him. He has been planned since 2014, according to video that was given to us, thanks to the incredible journalists over at Steven Crowder's Mug Club Undercover. They have been plotting this since 2014. He became a U.S. citizen in 2018. Let that sink in. They are running candidates who despise this country, who have no alliance to this great nation, because this is a takeover. That's not fear-mongering. That is common sense. Pay attention. Look at the facts. And I posted a bunch of clips on X, too, from Mug Club Undercover. Just recently, I posted, I believe it was yesterday morning, a clip of this same individual you see on your screen. He is the canvas director for the Madani campaign. He openly saying, yeah, we're using white lesbians to go into mosques. Man, oh, man, does that sound like a setup? White lesbians are going to mosques trying to get them on board to vote for Zohran Mahdani. These people are ignorant. That's the reason why they're supporting him. They don't understand what Islam does to lesbians. It's just so insane. And even the campaign director is like chuckling at the idea of this happening. Yeah, it's so crazy. So crazy. But this is what's going on. They were to capture London. Next on their list is New York City, and it's very likely that's going to happen because too many people were cowards and afraid to call it out from the very beginning. Later in the show, we're going to play a clip for you, and I'm not going to play it now, of Kathy Hochul openly saying that everything that Madani's telling you is actual garbage. It's garbage. It's a good bad meme. It's absolute garbage because she's telling you that she can't raise taxes on the rich in New York because they're fleeing already, you idiot. They are fleeing. In fact, the bulk of the rich in New York State that are still there are the bulk who are paying the taxes, paying for New York State. And you can't keep raising taxes on these people because they will pick up and they will leave. Zohran Mahdani has a plan for that. The guy's never had a job ever in his life. Oh, my plan for that is to punish them if they leave. We're going to find them. We're going to make them pay a tax. Oh, taxes are just the answer for everything, right? This low-life scumbag who's never had a real job in his life, who is a political prop raised by communists himself, has been intentionally forced into this country for the goal of him running New York City, getting access to the NYPD counterterrorism database. I don't know how many more times I need to scream about how insane that idea is. It's not about the fact that he's Muslim, folks. It's the fact that he is a jihadist. He is someone who empathizes with terrorists. That is a scary situation to be if you live in New York City right now, if you love this country. That affects all of us. That affects all of us. This is an evil, evil, evil man. I can't emphasize that enough. This is what they're doing. This has been the plan. We talk about it all the time. Islamists have a great level of patience. They understand the long game. They have infiltrated with millions of individuals into our country. You probably don't even know that they're in your country, in your state, because they stay on their properties. I'll give you an example. Plano, Texas. I keep bringing this up. East Plano Islamic Center. That area, they literally changed, and this is, again, great to the great work of Amy Meck, who has done the digging into all of this. They changed the street names because they own the property, so they could do this. To Islamic conquerors are being celebrated in Plano, Texas. It's right in front of your faces. I'm sure if the FBI were to raid the mosque, you'd probably find a bunch of weapons under those mosques. I'm pretty sure that's probably the case, in my opinion. Folks, I'm giving you what I believe is what's going on here. This is all my opinion here, of course. But they have been doing this for a very long time. You just have to look around and pay attention. You just have to pay attention. And there's a particular group of individuals on social media. If you speak out on this issue, they go after you. They call you a bunch of mean names, a bunch of stuff, because it's all well orchestrated. They don't want you criticizing this. They want you to fear that if you come out and you say, I don't want my country turning into this. It's so insane. Texas is being taken from us, folks. And you probably, if you live in Texas, you probably don't see it because they were building compounds so they don't have to leave. So they are self-sufficient. That was the reason why I went to the hearing in Plano, in Collin County. They had a hearing about all of this. And in front of a judge, they didn't bring actual Middle Easterns in. They hired a white PR firm, white attorneys, to advocate on their behalf because this is a takeover and they don't want you to know how bad things are actually getting. Pay attention. Pay attention. It's New York City today. Atlanta's next. And obviously we see what's going on in Michigan. This is a takeover. They're going after our major cities. Call me any name. I don't give a damn. But if you love this country, you don't allow this to happen. Let's turn to D.C. Yesterday, it was announced. Actually, we just got breaking news in from Ken Paxton's office. Let me turn to this email that I just received. Attorney General Ken Paxton announced that Google has signed an historic $1.3 billion settlement agreeing with the state of Texas in their conclusion about data privacy enforcement. That's a big one. So according to Ken Paxton's office, they just announced that Google has just agreed to the settlement of $1.3 billion. And it's all in regards to their claims of their violations of Texans' privacy rights. Historic. This historic $1.3 billion price tag to Google's misconduct sets a clear warning to all big tech. That's according to Ken Paxton's office. That's a big one. That is a massive, massive victory for the AG's office. So good on them. Good on them. All right. I want to talk about what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. Yesterday, Judge Dineen held a press conference regarding that congressional intern that was brutally murdered in D.C. Well, he just made a new arrest, and it's got a lot of people on hinge because, again, these are all preventable. These are all preventable. Take a listen to Judge Dineen in clip 8 sound off on the issue.
We live in a district where all three of these juveniles that I've just mentioned are known to the juvenile court. That's all I'm going to say, because I can't say more and I want to. But I can tell you this, that two innocent souls were taken from us in what I believe were predictable homicides based upon the behavior of these individuals and the records that everyone knew about. But the D.C. Council is more interested in protecting young criminals in under the guise of protecting the innocence of youth. It's time for them to start protecting the citizens of the district, because this is what we're ending up with. We're having victims 5 blocks away, 79 rounds on the ground. This is normal behavior in D.C. No more excuses from this council. And finally, there is something called the Incarceration Reduction Act. I talk about it all the time. It means that if you're under the age of 25, as all three of these are, if they serve 15 years, assuming they're convicted, they go before a board. They don't have to prove they're better, they're rehabilitated, or anything. And they get out after 15 years. Okay? This victim and this victim, Eric and Zoe, one man is charged with both of them. That one man is 18, Naquan. Once he serves 15 years, he gets out because of the rules in the district.
It's absolutely gut-wrenching, but of course, we tell you this all the time. I tell you this all the time. These violent criminals have more rights than their victims, and these liberals somehow, some way, think that these people are redeemable, commit a heinous murder, unload 79 rounds, and they think that if they just get a little older with the age, that they'll just go and become a normal citizen. Have you ever heard of someone who committed murder when they were a teen? Come out and run for office, like an actual productive member of society. Run for office, become a lawyer, become a doctor. You never hear those stories. You know why? Because these people cannot redeem themselves. The issue has, and rightfully so, one of the parents involved in this, the victim's mother from the congressional intern, sounding off in clip 9. Take a listen.
They don't care about anybody. And until it happens to a council member or their family member, it may change. I saw them in front of committee with Mayor Bowser. I was disgusted that they say their way works. And look at how many lives are ruined. Yeah. Ruined, which could have maybe been nipped in the bud from the get-go from the first violent crime. And this isn't okay. I'm appalled. I'm mad about all these people protesting in D.C., suing Trump that they don't want the guard. You know, I'm going to say something. I see mostly white people out there protesting, and my husband does too, and we're upset until it happens to them. Nobody go, and you know, these people better start thinking, because these kids are getting younger and more violent, and we cannot let these kids run amok without a consequence for their behavior.
Mother is absolutely right, and it's gut-wrenching that they have to deal with this, but this is what's going on right now in our country. These liberals have destroyed our legal system, and they have more empathy for the suspects than the actual victims. Folks, I want to bring you breaking news. According to NBC News, we told you that the FBI claims that they had prevented a terror attack. It looks like that terror attack was set to be based in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, again, we don't know where they were looking to carry it out, but that's where the arrests were taking place. Police in Dearborn, Michigan, the FBI carried out an operation there Friday morning, although the Bureau has not confirmed that it's linked to the Friday arrest they were claiming. This is what we know thus far. This morning, the FBI blocked, obviously, we told you that they alleged Kash Patel was a terror attack. Four senior law enforcement officials familiar with the case said that the FBI in Detroit apprehended a group of young individuals in custody who were plotting some form of an attack with a possible reference to Halloween. Those officials say that the group has a nexus to some of the foreign extremism, but they would not say whether or not it was ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or any of those with similar ideology. One official says the arrest occurred in Dearborn, Michigan. Obviously, that is somewhere where there is a massive, massive Islamic takeover. So that is deeply, deeply concerning. Law enforcement was able to monitor the group in the greater Detroit area in the past several days at minimum to make sure there was no actual attack carried on. A federal law enforcement source told NBC that the FBI arrest took place in Dearborn, Michigan. Again, we're hearing that. These are all the updates coming in from the journalists who are dropping what they're learning on the ground. Dearborn police confirmed in Facebook posts that the FBI carried out the raid in the area on Friday morning. Again, so this is what's going on right now. Some good news. It looks like they might have prevented an Islamic terrorist attack. Again, they're not directly saying that. But if you know the region, you know where Dearborn is. You know what it's turned into over the years. One can just insinuate just that. But again, we're waiting for the FBI to come out with the very latest on that front. Infuriating. They have sacrificed this great nation, these great people, to people who hate us, who have dedicated their lives to conquering and to killing as many of those in the West as possible, because they do not believe in the same God that you and I believe in. And this is what's going on right now. It's so infuriating that we have to continue to have these types of discussions. Folks, all you have to do is look at what's going on around the country. You could turn to what's going on right now in Sudan, Nigeria. Doesn't matter where they are. These Islamic terrorists will kill anyone. Doesn't matter what religion you are. If you're Jewish, you're Christian, you're Hindu, they will slaughter you and they don't care. These aren't people we should ever let into our country, but we have done just that thanks to those on the left. So if that is the case, if this is related to Islamic terrorism, which Dearborn, Michigan is a big red flag there, that would be great news. But I look forward to seeing the court documents to make sure and to ensure that you guys at home, this wasn't a setup by the FBI. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That is how you keep us up and running. And right now we have 25% off. We're celebrating Halloween, so head on over there. Get yourself some methylene red as well as methylene blue. We just launched that this week. So celebrate with us over at thealexjonesstore.com. Dan Lyman joining me in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in just a moment.
What out there could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it? So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle, because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with Methylene Blue and it works without it. And unlike ultramethylene blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain other medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both the methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge, huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed: migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the second half of the second hour. Dan Lyman joining us in just a few moments. He's one of the incredible reporters here over at Infowars.com. And he's cut up a bunch of great stories that we look forward to bringing you in just a few moments. In case you missed it, we did get some breaking news regarding an announcement that was made by FBI Director Kash Patel just a few moments ago. We're learning a little bit more. FBI not coming out and telling us much, but the FBI field office, well, their comms team just confirmed that there were arrests made in Dearborn, Michigan regarding a potential terror attack on Halloween weekend. Now, again, folks, it's Dearborn, Michigan. And an Islamic takeover of Dearborn, Michigan. So one can only assume what that actually means. Now, there's no official word, of course, if this is religiously motivated. There's no word if it's related to ISIS or Al-Qaeda. We just know that there were young men who were arrested. But all of the boxes are being checked off with this one. So we'll keep our eye on that and see if the FBI is looking to drop any more additional information. But in the meantime, let's talk about one of the great reporters over at Infowars.com, someone who I can't stop talking about, Mr. Dan Lyman. He joins us now to break down his latest report regarding lifeguard encountering a biological man in a female shower at a facility at a YMCA. No way, Dan. That's not happening. Come on. You got to be kidding me. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Brianna. Happy Halloween to you. Halloween. Yeah, it's scary, scary stuff going on Halloween up in North Idaho. As someone who used to live in North Idaho, I deeply respect the area, the values of the people there in general, and the fact that many Americans are actually kind of fleeing in that direction and have for many years to escape the insanity of the West Coast in many cases, the Californians and the Seattle natives and the Portlandians that have gone out to North Idaho to get away from the madness of the West Coast communists. But that follows them at the same time. And so an issue that you wouldn't even think twice about if you saw it in California, a story like this, it makes you really scratch your head when you see it's going on in North Idaho. And so this caught my eye. And so essentially what happened was a YMCA in the town of Sandpoint was the lifeguard there was doing just a routine check of the locker room, a female lifeguard, and she encountered what she believed to be a biological male. And so she gave that person a little bit more scrutiny and noticed that, yes, indeed, it was a biological male in the women's locker room. And so she engaged this person briefly to kind of verify what her suspicions were and then went and told her superiors, hey, there's a man in the women's locker room. And this locker room is also accessed, of course, by children and students because the local schools there use the YMCA facility for their swim teams and swim programs. And so she was extra concerned about this fact, and she let her superiors know, and they said that it is actually YMCA policy, or there is no policy against it. It's policy to not prevent that from happening. And they showed her policy documents basically saying that there was nothing they could do about it. That person was not violating any of their policies. And so this woman then took it upon herself to call 911, local police department. They called her right back and they informed her that no laws were being broken and that there was nothing that they could do about this person being in the locker room either. And so she said she was really upset about this. This happened a couple of weeks ago, and she has since gone public with the whole tale and let a local official know there, a prominent Republican. He leads the Bonner County Republicans up there. He's a former state senator in Idaho, and he has taken up this battle here. And so the word of this, of course, spread. It's a small town. The parents in the local schools were very concerned to hear about this, and they reached out for confirmation and found out that indeed this whole incident had taken place. And according to Scott Herndon, who is this former state senator that I spoke to, it is true that there is no policy against what happened and that there apparently really aren't many laws that would prevent it either. He's looked into different peeping Tom laws and decency laws and nothing really solid that could be enforced. And so the police there, while they did take a squishy stance on the whole thing, they may not have had a leg to stand on. So really interesting stuff. And it's come to my attention that apparently the lifeguard is considering filing a lawsuit over this. So this is something that we're going to be keeping an eye on moving forward.
It's so creepy. I mean, Dan, I could just talk about like what I was working with someone. She had called me and she was in a female's bath. She was in a woman's bathroom. And there was a biological male dressed as a woman, or trying to dress as a woman, but walked in and she was by herself. And she's a big chick too. She's about 6 feet tall, so she could handle her own. But he got in her face and was like getting very aggressive with her for just being in the bathroom and for no reason at all. Cause obviously she was like, what the heck are you doing in here? And it was a very uncomfortable situation, but this is what happens. I mean, it's not just simply, you know, they just want to use women's bathrooms. It's they are going in there. They are potentially going to cause physical harm, or they are there because they are a creep and they're trying to prey on women and girls. And so this is a much bigger issue. And we look forward to you continuing to cover it, because I just don't even understand, you know, why we allow all of this. This is, again, one of the many issues we have here. And I guess, Dan, you know, we're just watching as the news is breaking right now. And I kind of wanted to get your take on this. But I just actually forwarded this over to the guys in the control room. If you guys want to get this up, and you can. We learned from Kash Patel, the FBI director, that There was just an arrest of a potential terrorist, suspected terrorist in the Michigan area. We are now learning that this arrest was made in the Dearborn, Michigan area. We don't know much in the way of details, but, you know, you've reported on the Dearborn area, obviously, and how it's been like a heavy Islamic takeover over there. But there's an NBC reporter who happens to be a mouthpiece for the deep state operatives within the FBI who actually just came out, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, as to what my concerns were here and for us to hold off before making any judgment. But he's out here saying right now that there seems to be an internal consensus over at the FBI right now that the FBI director prematurely announced these arrests. The Dearborn, Michigan police saying the arrests were made this morning. We don't know the timeline, but the FBI director might have made this before the arrests were actually made, according to this reporter. I wouldn't even call him a reporter. According to this deep state operative at this point, there's an issue here, right? We don't know, number one, if Islam is involved in all of this, if this is related to ISIS or Al-Qaeda, but we can't just go based off what we know. We know this happened in Dearborn, Michigan. Multiple men have been arrested, according to NBC News. And we know that the FBI director made the announcement prior, or we think that the FBI director made the announcement prior to the actual arrest. What do you make of all of this? Because, again, the news is trickling out. I hate when they make these announcements, though, without all the facts that they're going to drop. Don't tell me that you made arrest, you foiled a potential terror attack without actually having any other evidence for us to see.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on at FBI. It seems it seems like they're bungling everything. It seems like there's some funny business going on with cash flying around the country on the private FBI jet with his girlfriend to go to concerts and all that. And I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. But I will say that the spotlight has been shown on Dearborn in the last couple of months here. And even recently, and there was a debate in the gubernatorial race a few days ago in Michigan. And one of the candidates, I guess he's a populist kind of right wing figure, was asked if he would send the National Guard to the southern border to defend the southern border of the Michigan National Guard. And he actually said yes, and I would send it in to Dearborn as well to defend Michiganders against Sharia law, something like that. And, and in recent weeks, we've seen the local citizenry challenging the Dearborn city council and the police chief there. They're all Muslims. And so it's obviously knee-jerk reaction to just think, oh, Dearborn jihadists. But we should also be aware that there's going to be a lot of funny business going on there in response to the fact that the light has been shown on them and they're very uncomfortable there in Dearborn. And, you know, that really is kind of the central hub for Islamists in the United States in many ways. That's, they've kind of proven that they can take over what was formerly, I believe, like kind of a Polish immigrant town in Michigan and convert it and make it their own and blast the call to prayer all day. Mm-hmm. And basically run over the local citizens and in many ways, probably American laws at the same time. And so we should be prepared for a lot of funny business to go on in Dearborn if the hornet's nest continues to be kicked there.
Yeah. And, you know, I figured I'd bring that story in because you have a story up on the website right now over at Infowars.com related to Michigan open border radicals terrorizing a local lawmaker over there at her home specifically. You've got the video up right now on the website. Tell us a little bit about this story.
Yeah, this happened over the weekend. I'm just pulling up the details on this. It happened in Kent County. There is a representative, a state rep there named Angela Regas. She's apparently a very patriotic American. She has been attacked for attending the January 6th rally in Washington, D.C. a few years back. Mm-hmm. And so she is co-sponsoring a bunch of bills that would effectively ban sanctuary jurisdictions in the state of Michigan and also crack down on human trafficking and generally, an assault on illegal immigration, which is great to see. But over the weekend, a bunch of radical open borders militants, some of them call themselves, Great Rapids Rapid Response to ICE group. Some of them, along with looks like kind of like some Antifa types and then just some crazy psycho lib women, turned up at her house as part of a tour of shame where they were going to various officials' houses who were involved in putting forth these bills and demanding that they retract their sponsorship, retract their report, support for these bills, pull these bills down. And in this case, they actually turned up outside of her home where she lives with her children and her husband. And they started out in the street. And some of these people, there's photographs. Some of them look really scary, like weird horror movie characters. And they actually trespassed on her property. They came up onto her front porch, ringing the bell. She didn't answer, of course. And then they were holding this very large sign, this handwritten, sloppy, ugly sign, demanding, basically saying that her support for these bills was abhorrent and that was, creating an unsafe community for our undocumented neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. And because she didn't open the door, they actually affixed this sign to her door with duct tape, which probably could be categorized under vandalism, I would imagine, especially if they damaged any of her property. And they flipped her off on her Ring camera on the way out. And so this, she said she reported this all to the Kent County Sheriff, and these videos have come out now as well. And I think I keep saying this, using this phrase, scenes from a civil war. I don't want it to get to that, but I mean, we're seeing so much crazy stuff go on in response to the immigration crackdown across the U.S., serious levels of violence in Chicago right now, but also just these totally unhinged reactions from the open borders left, trespassing on an official's property with her children possibly at home and terrorizing her effectively by affixing the sign to her door and just looking scary and beating drums outside of the house. And, you know, this is a good American patriot who has come under fire from the radical left here. And I think we're going to see much more of this as they react to the Trump administration's illegal immigration crackdown. We just saw interesting information a few days ago, a memo that was apparently leaked, the Pentagon ordering the National Guard to stand up these quick reaction forces across the country in every state and in territories in preparation for civil unrest across the country. And they're ordering that those forces be stood up by January 1st. This comes at the same time that the administration is reportedly planning to really ramp things up on the arrest and deportation side of things, and also making changes at ICE leadership to make the organization more aggressive, apparently. And mm-hmm. So you get the sense the administration is preparing for things to continue to escalate from here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they are terrorists, so it's what we could expect at this point from them. So we'll have to sit back and watch. But I want to talk about what's going on across the pond. I always tell everyone what's happening in London is going to happen here if we don't get our stuff together, pretty much. And both of these stories are related. You have two stories up right now on Infowars.com. This one, though, we'll go with the first one. London police demand citizens stop sharing video of an Afghan migrant stabbing dog walking man to death. I hate these things. I hate these things. This is the reason why we carry here in the United States. This is why every American should be able to carry a firearm with them, because of things like this. It looks like this was an unprovoked attack. I want to kind of hear your take on it, but also Elon Musk, and that's going to be the second story you talk about, is saying that, you know, enough is enough. This is probably going to lead to a civil war at this point, because I don't know how many. And by the way, the video is very graphic, folks. I want to just warn all of you at home that the video itself is graphic, but Dan, I'll let you take away the story from here.
Yeah, it's just the latest horror in, Dearborn is like a little microcosm of what's going on in mm-hmm. Great Britain. If you want to know what's going on there, have a look at Dearborn. But the whole country basically is turning into a giant Dearborn, especially London, of course. And this incident happened in West London. And this, of course, is just after incident, attack after attack, murder after murder, rape after rape, maimings and terrorist attacks and just all manner of targeting of the heritage British population by these third world barbarians who have been welcomed into the country and given, in my opinion, de facto license to kill on English soil. And so this has happened on Monday in Uxbridge in West London. And this man who was attacked was one of three people who were attacked by this savage demon. On the video, I counted at least 15 strikes from the knife. It's really hard to watch. And the video really shook, of course, the Brits, because you hear a lot about attacks like this, but they're not always caught on camera. And this one was just so in your face. Apparently a neighbor saw this going down, because this man, an Afghan illegal who arrived during the height of COVID in 2020, snuck into Great Britain in the back of what they call a lorry, in the back of a cargo truck. These cargo trucks often, when they come over from France, they will find that illegal migrants have barged their way into these vehicles. There's plenty of incredible videos from the freeways, the highways in France of gangs of men just piling into the backs of cargo trucks and riding them over into Great Britain. And so he arrived in 2020 in this manner, was not kicked out of the country, was allowed to stay, and was given asylum in 2022. And basically this guy was a ticking time bomb. Some of the reports that I read just indicated that he just kind of charged out of a residence there, brandishing a knife, and just started indiscriminately slashing and stabbing. So he attacked a 14-year-old boy who was slashed in the throat. He's going to survive, apparently. He attacked a man who may have been the boy's father. That man suffered what they call life-changing injuries, not life-threatening, but he probably took a knife to the face or something like that. But then he pounced on this 49-year-old guy. Known as the local garbage collector, a humble, you know, working man. And he goes out every night in the neighborhood to walk his dog. And he was beloved by his neighbors and his family. And unfortunately, on this night, he walked out at just the wrong moment, because as soon as he stepped out onto the sidewalk, apparently this barbarian plunged a knife into him at least 15 times, killed him. He did not survive. And there's videos of the arrests that were made a few moments later after people called the police in. And you just get the sense that the police officers like barely can contain a guy with a knife. You know, it's incredible. It took so many of them to kind of surround him and then finally tase him. They took him to hospital first, but they did eventually arrest him, which is good. And he's facing, I believe he's going to be facing a murder charge. But this has really shaken the country. It's just the latest in so many of these attacks. And what many people over there are saying, hey, this could be your dad, your grandfather, your uncle, who's out walking the dog, and he finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the powers that be in the UK, specifically the Metropolitan Police in London, have actually warned local citizens not to share this video on social media. Very stern warning. Do not share this. You could jeopardize the investigation. And this is one that I've seen kind of like the people that wouldn't normally share these graphic videos, people like Matthew Goodwin, who are a little bit more, you know, careful about what they do. They said, no, this video, we got to share this because everybody needs to see what we're facing here. And it has caught the attention of Elon Musk, who has highlighted it on several occasions with a lengthy quote, talking about, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien and the hobbits and orcs and all that. And he tied it all together there, which was, which I found to be very poignant, but then also just saying enough is enough. And he said, civil war in Great Britain is inevitable. It's just a matter of when. And I think that's very possible.
No. I mean, it's at what point have we seen? I wonder why the post is no longer available. I wonder.
I can tell you. Yes. So this post, the video itself has been censored by Twitter in many ways. It's very hard to find a copy that you can embed into an article, but there's probably something to do with the UK government actually making it very hard to disseminate that. And that response that he shared there, that enough is enough, was in response to Tommy Robinson's copy of the video. And you can imagine that if Tommy puts the video out, it gets censored right away, of course.
Yeah, they're not a fan of Tommy Robinson these days. It's really infuriating, I have to say, Dan, because it's like, at what point is enough enough? I mean, like Elon said, they have imported these people and he broke into their country illegally. They give him asylum and then he goes around and stabs innocent people. There's a limit to all of this. And I wonder when we're actually going to hit it, because time and time again, we're seeing that women throughout Europe are being raped, and we're seeing these random stabbings. Of course, you know, I remember instead of actually taking on who is leading the stabbings, that there was lawmakers who were proposing recreating knives to have a more curved end of the blade so that it won't cause these types of stabbing. I mean, the absurdity is they want to change everything else except the people they're importing into their country. And any normal society would revoke all of this, would kick all these people out because they don't know who they are. You wouldn't sit here and bite into like five apples if you know one of them's poison. So I don't know what the heck we're doing in this country either, because we're doing the same exact thing here. And then we're, strangely enough, we're actually turning around, and I didn't tell you about the story beforehand, so I hope you've seen it prior, but you know, the Trump administration looks like has drastically reduced the amount of South Africans that we brought into this country. The new low is about 7,500 who are claim refugee status next year, it looks like. What the heck's going on here? Because this is something that President Trump knew was happening in South Africa, had no problem calling it out, because these people are being purged in their own country. There's a genocide in their own country. And for some reason, now we're not bringing them into our country. What's going on here?
No, it's a little bit different than that.
Okay.
What he did, what the administration is doing is they're lowering the total number of refugees that are going to be allowed into the country in fiscal year 2026. And in some years, I think it's been over 100,000, 125,000. And primarily those people have been brought in from places like Afghanistan. What the administration is going to be doing for fiscal year 2026 is lowering the cap to a very small amount, 7,500, and prioritizing white South Africans in, you know, putting them first in line to get those asylum clear. Yeah, it's actually a move towards being pro South African, the whites that want to get out of the country to get away from their barbaric neighbors who are trying to kill them with the blessing of the government. And so it looks like they're really going to radically transform and clean up the asylum process here in the United States and greatly reduce the number of people who are going to be able to claim asylum and come into the U.S.
So why do they reduce the number though? Because I was seeing posts on X that the number was well over 25,000, I think it was originally planned out, then it's been reduced down to 7,000. I mean, is that all that's looking to claim refugee status here in the United States, that they all just need about 7,000?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta wonder, like, who actually will qualify and why. And then and there are a lot of people who say, yes, if we're going to have any at all, let's have white South Africans. However, we're full. Like, we got our own problems here. And so, yes, we'd like to help those people, I think. But at the same time, you know, just taking in fewer foreign nationals right now would just be a wise idea. And they may have other ways to allow those people to come to the U.S., not necessarily through the asylum process, but just seeing that the program is going to be shrunk down to just a minuscule amount compared to what it has been in prior years is very encouraging. And the fact that, you know, the third world isn't going to be able to exploit this for at least a few years is really encouraging.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is. Dan Lyman, you're doing incredible work over at Infowars.com. I highly recommend our audience head on over there every single day. Check out all the great things you're posting about. I'll also give you a follow on X because you do a great job over there as well. Dan Lyman, thank you for joining the show today. We appreciate your time as always. And I always learn something new from you, so thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Have a great day.
You as well, my friend. Folks, we're following that FBI story for you right now. As I warned you in the beginning of the show, I told you, I said, hold on before we jump to anything. The FBI director has a history of jumping the gun on certain stories and breaking things on X before they're supposed to be released publicly. And I mean, I hate to rely on an MSNBC reporter, or not even a reporter, but this guy's the least reporter type I'd ever call or would recall, honestly. He's worked for the deep state. He pushes out propaganda all the time for those who work within the FBI who have gone after and weaponized the agency. But he's claiming that the director released the information about these arrests prior to the arrest, it looks like. We're waiting to hear more from the FBI, though. This is what happens quite often with him. I've outlined for you two other occasions when he did just that. So whether or not it's true that he did it this time, I can tell you he's got a history there. But we are continuing to follow the story. We'll bring you the latest whether or not this was a Islamic-inspired terror plot, whether the agency itself was plotting behind the scenes to do this. We've seen it time and time again, especially in Michigan. The FBI over there has been involved in their so-called terror plots. They've been behind the scenes manipulating everything, so we're going to keep our eye on that. A lot more happening, though, in the third hour of the show, so do not go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. For Halloween, we've got 25% off site-wide, so check it out right now. We'll be right back with more to discuss in just a moment.
There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carville and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog, let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off third hour in just a few moments. Sarah Gonzalez joining the show as well as Mike Howell. A lot to discuss on a lot of different fronts right now, so we're excited that you're joining us. Sarah Gonzalez going to sound off with me on Democrats who continue to just spew lies, and they're being called out on it by their own fellow Democrats. I mean, that's how bad things are getting. It's a communist takeover of the Democratic Party, and those who haven't gone full-on commie yet, maybe they flirt around with a little communism, they are on the outskirts right now trying to call out the radical members of their party. And it's not going well for either. So we're going to talk about that, too. We're also going to be talking to Mike Howell about the FBI. There's a lot there. Obviously, Arctic Frost has been a major story this week, outlining the how deep the Jack Smith, Joe Biden, whatever was running the White House, corruption truly was. But most importantly, the changes that need to be made at the FBI, according to Mike Howell, have not been made. There's a lot of people who are heading the field offices over there who have not been fired at several field offices across the country. So he's going to join us to discuss that. Plus, I'll probably get him to weigh in a bit in regards to, you know, the reports that, there's a lot of reports, but the reports regarding, Kash Patel probably releasing information about a terror attack too soon. It's coming from someone who I don't necessarily like, but it's probably true given his history. So we'll talk about that too. A lot going on there. We're also following again that terror attack, the alleged terror attack that was supposed to take place on Halloween weekend. Again, the FBI releasing stuff, but not giving us any information, which is not greatly appreciated, of course, for to have information at our own fingertips. But what we know right now is Dearborn, Michigan police have confirmed that there were arrests made earlier this morning by the FBI. They're not giving us much more as to if it was related to ISIS or Al-Qaeda or anything like that. We know Dearborn, Michigan has a issue that they're dealing with right now as they've imported those from Islamic countries that hate us. And so we are awaiting more information on that before we could jump the gun and tell you what probably that was. We're keeping our eye on that. We're also keeping our eye on, again, a lot of the corruption, a lot of the potential criminal charges that we hope those a part of the Biden regime will face for lying to the American people. So we're following that story as well. Also, Prince Harry being stripped of his royalty. I will bring you the very latest on that front as well. So a lot happening here today. We're excited that you're joining us, of course. Oh, I can't wait to talk to Sarah because I've been fired up about this issue for quite some time now in regards to Democrats talking about the shutdown. And again, I don't think either side is great, but I also know that one side's worse than the other, and we're referring to Democrats here. Democrats here have been very misleading. They've been lying to the American people, pretending like the shutdowns aren't related to them, but they are the ones who are literally doing the shutdowns. I mean, it's so insane. Also, we just got a new soundbite in a couple of minutes ago. We'll play it with Sarah. I'll get her raw reaction to it. I actually haven't prepped her for this at all, but we will play it for her. It's another trucker who was apparently stopped by law enforcement who is unable to speak English or read signs, apparently. We have the body cam footage from that, and it's just so infuriating, folks. We'll bring that to you when Sarah comes on board. Again, unable to speak English, unable to read signs, but somehow is driving a semi. I mean, I don't know about you guys at home, but every time now I see a semi on the highway, I go the other way. I try to go around them at all costs because you just don't know who these people are. We don't know who these people are. And as you heard the ICE director say, it's very likely that these individuals could possibly carry out a terrorist attack by trying to bring explosives across state lines. We don't know. we don't know. It's because states like California, New York, and Illinois have all just given out these CDLs with no oversight at all. And I outlined for you at the beginning of the show, it was about an hour into the show, we talked about how there have been several criminal charges over the years and convictions related to Indian nationals who have owned these driving schools. They have paid off DMVs to give over these CDLs. And then a lot of the times these are also trucking companies owned by Indians, whether they're U.S. citizens or not. They all seem to have the same last name. So we'll continue to expose all of this because this is deeply concerning and it's affecting you, the American people, of course. It's a lot that we're diving into on today's show. In case you don't know, over at the InfoWars, or I should say over at the AlexJonesStore.com, we have 25% off going on right now for Halloween. So head on over there to the shop. Grab yourself some methylene red. We just started selling that this week on the site. So grab yourself some. That's what I'm on.
Methylene red is the ultimate compliment to methylene blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the third hour of the program with a lot to unpack. By the way, in case you didn't know, I might have slipped it up the name a little bit, but I wanted to make sure we issued this correction. Prince Andrew has just been stripped of his royalty title, and he's being evicted from the Royal Lodge. That happening yesterday, so obviously a big announcement. I don't know why it didn't happen sooner, but obviously this is all probably related to the Jeffrey Epstein allegations that he's still facing and has not been actually held accountable for. So I'll bring you the latest on that as it continues to develop. But I want to talk about something that actually just got released just a few moments ago from the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation releasing, I guess, more body cam footage proving that we have individuals riding and driving semis right now all around our country who can't speak English, can't read signs. And there's more proof of that. I open up the show by telling you all about how Indian nationals have been scamming the system and are trying to help their fellow Indians, I guess, get driver's licenses here in the United States. It's been going on for over a decade now. They operate these driving schools. They pay off the DMV employees who we've outlined the convictions that have happened from all of this. And many of these times, too, they're hired by trucking companies that are owned by individuals with very similar last names to them. It has been a scam that's been going on for over a decade now, and you're starting to see it unravel before your very own eyes because they are causing fatal accidents on our roadways. Now, in an kind of unrelated video that was just released moments ago by the Secretary of the Transportation Department, Sean Duffy, there appears to be another individual who cannot speak English or read our signs. Take a listen to his interaction with law enforcement.
You understand English? You do? Why did you park here? No, no good. Is there anybody else in the truck? Is there anybody else in the truck?
My company.
Your company. Okay, you don't understand English. Pants. Put your pants on.
Pants on? What?
Put your pants on. Pants. Put some pants on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You don't understand English. What company do you work for?
My company, California.
Your company's called California?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't understand me.
Yeah.
Your reaction, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, so first off, it begs the question, how in the hell did someone like that get a driver's license, right? Because we have requirements that you have to be proficient in speaking English. And so one, whether you're at the DMV in California and issuing a license or the school that tested him that would have, you know, said he's proficient as a driver and sent him to the DMV in California, there's multiple trigger points where someone should have flagged this guy that he should not be driving. The problem, specifically in California, but also in other states, is that they're not enforcing the English-only provisions of our federal law.
And again, there's been prior convictions of individuals working for the DMV who know that these individuals can't pass the tests, who are just being bribed to give them these CDLs. Joining me now to discuss is Sarah Gonzalez. She is one of the incredible hosts over at The Blaze. She's the host of the Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered show. And I keep adding the word "the" in front of it, Sarah. You might just want to make it stick at this point. Welcome to the show, my friend. It's exciting to have you on here. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. You look beautiful as always.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, girl. I'm trying to keep up with you. I wanted to talk about this because it's so frustrating. We outlined at the beginning of the show, there's a history of, you know, people from outside this country, Indian nationals, doing all of this with the, you know, DMV employees who are getting bribed by the schools, the driving schools, who are taking the money from these individuals who aren't proficient in English, but they're just giving them these CDL licenses. This has been going on for over a decade. I mean, we found cases back in 2015 that we outlined on the show today. And then you see videos like this get dropped just recently about another individual who can't read, can't even communicate with law enforcement. And how the heck is he able to get CDLs in California, one would assume? Because again, they're not supposed to be getting them. So Sarah, what's your thoughts behind all of this? Because it seems to be a consistent issue here, and this isn't new. We're just now talking about it.
Yeah, you're right. And what's terrifying was the information that we learned, I believe it was maybe a week ago, where there was an audit that found that there are, what, some 62,000 CDLs issued to illegal immigrants. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, what we're seeing, Brianna. I mean, we can expect that there will be many more cases like this. And I don't know how many Americans' lives will have to be lost before we start talking about holding people like Gavin Newsom criminally liable for murder. I mean, this is blood on people like Gavin Newsom, the head of the DMV of California, the state of New York, everyone who is giving these CDLs to these illegals who cannot speak English or read street signs. Everyone who is in charge of that, everyone who knows about it, needs to be held accountable at the highest crimes possible, because this is, of course, I mean, you're giving them the keys to a deadly weapon, an 18-wheeler that is capable of killing so many people. And so I keep thinking to myself, I mean, I know you've been critical of, you know, people like Kash Patel and people like Pam Bondi, people within the Trump administration who just aren't doing their damn jobs. But I keep wondering, how many is it going to take for the Trump administration to come forward with a plan to get these people off of our streets? Certainly we can do something to root them out and get them out of our communities, prioritize these illegals who are not only here illegally, but also have these CDLs, putting them at greater risk of being dangerous to Americans. So I keep asking, like, at what point are we going to come up with a solution to prioritize these people? At what point are we going to track these people down? Surely there's a way that we can do that. And it's just really very frustrating to me, Brianna. I mean, I covered on my show, I think it was yesterday, it's not just the illegals with CDLs. It's not just the people who came here illegally, who went through the floodgates when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris said, come on over, we're open for free. But it's also the people who came here legally, who are overstayed their visas and who are now committing crimes and havoc in these communities. There is so much more work to be done. And it's just, as you said, it's so frustrating to see this happening. And it's like, guys, that we're watching this happen, you can expect way more. So what are we doing about it right now to keep Americans safe? That question still remains to be answered.
Yeah, and Sarah, to be truthful too as well, New York is giving away driver's licenses, just regular driver's licenses, to illegal aliens. And there's been two cases where we found these driver's licenses to have on the first name line have no name. And they actually put it on there because they can't get a name from the individual who's looking to drive a vehicle in this country. I mean, that's how insane it is. When New York was reached out to the DMV, they said, no, it's completely legal here. We're allowed to do this. And then these are actually authentic. It's so absurd. But that's what's going on in the country right now. They want the rest of us to all jump on board of this digital ID movement with real ID. But they they themselves won't sit here and actually hold these individuals accountable by demanding their credentials, demanding who, to figure out who they are. It's just an endless issue here, and it's really, really infuriating. I also wanted to bring up this as well. Let's just keep talking about Democrats, I guess. In clip 10, there's a Democratic Congresswoman, Janelle Bynum, who is now out here spewing lies, and she can't even answer her own lie when she's grilled on, I believe this was C-SPAN, if I'm not mistaken, the journalist who just simply asked her for more information about the claim she just stated. She's unable to do just that. Take a listen.
They did have a clean CR vote on September 19th in the House. Did you vote for it?
I disagree with your characterization and want to make sure that we're very clear about what Republicans have been doing. Any bill that they've put forth, they've always had some extra stuff to it. There's always been a poison pill to it. So I disagree with your characterization.
What were the poison pills of the clean CR or the continuing resolution, you say it's not clean, that was voted on in the House in mid-September?
Here's what's important. I think what you're trying to do is shift the responsibility to Democrats.
Okay, Sarah, she can't even answer the question. What the heck's going on here?
Well, what the heck is going on is that this is representative of the average Democrat voter, completely and totally brain dead. They take these talking points that they get from the DNC, who is also completely and totally brain dead, and then they go on these outlets and spew this absolute garbage and think that Americans are going to buy it. The problem with that, Brianna, is that as you just saw, I mean, yeah, sure, it was just C-SPAN, but it wasn't until just recently that the mainstream media had this awakening that, oh crap, wait, we actually have to push back on these people because the American people are not buying it. They see that the Democrats are the ones who are, of course, in charge of the shutdown. They know that we need 60 votes. And I mean, listen, I'm not a big fan of the education system here in America, but I have to believe that adult Americans can still do that basic math and understand that, of course, Republicans don't have the votes without Democrats to get this thing, of course, over the final hurdle. And so you end up with these Democrats who just spew this absolute garbage and think that Americans are going to buy it. I just don't think they do. You see all of the Republicans willing to work with Democrats, come to the table. Let's reopen the government. We don't want people to lose their SNAP benefits. Now, me personally, I have a big problem with the SNAP benefits, but Republicans by and large don't want them to lose it. You know, they want people to receive their benefits. And it's the Democrats who end up, you know, holding back and holding Americans hostage. And she can't even tell you why, but this is of course representative of the average Democrat.
Yeah, they don't understand any of this, and it's quite strange how they continue to get elected into Congress in the first place because they're not even good at the pivot. The pivot was so awkward. She's like leans in like, all right, I got something to tell you. It's going to be pretty bad. They're just so bad at this. They're so bad. Just that, Sarah, I mean, like you said, it's getting really bad that like some are just saying, okay, we can't keep running cover. Kathy Hochul, who is the alleged governor of New York at this point, she's been occupying the Capital region for a very long time now. She is calling out Soran Madani, and I just like, it's two people I can't tolerate, but I have to side with her on this one because Zohran Mamdani is a communist and he has been lying to young voters saying that he's going to give all these free incentives if they support him and it wins in an election. If you're not smart, you don't understand how math works. So when the governor of New York came out and just outlined the fact that you can't raise taxes on the rich because they're already paying the bulk of the state's budget every year, it's really not going to go well for Zohran Mamdani. Take a listen to clip 11.
We know that Mamdani does want to tax the rich more, bring it up about 2%. He can't do that on his own. You've previously said that you wouldn't be raising taxes. Have you reconsidered that stance?
No, I will say one energetic rally does not get me to change my positions, I assure you. But I do hear people's voices. I process what everybody says, but I'm also have to balance governing this state and making sure that those people who are actually the reason we have a generous, supportive budget that helps lift people up, it's their revenues that we tax. 1.5% of New Yorkers cover about a third of our budget. That's enormous. I'm concerned about out-migration of people who are the ones who are supporting our budget. I cannot make up for that with middle-class tax increases. I cannot do that to the middle class and the struggling New Yorkers. So this is the balance. I mean, this is my position.
Okay, so it's common sense. There's so many New Yorkers who have fled the state over the last 6 to 7 years. I was one. I fled New York, what was it, back in 2019, before the massive self-deportation, I guess I should say, of those who lived in the region. But Sarah, I mean, she's actually sounding like she makes sense. What do Republicans or even Democrats have to do to calm down this communist type of rhetoric where they're lying to voters and saying that they're just going to raise tax on the rich as if that solves all the problems?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm glad that you mentioned you're not a fan of either of those people, because I would like to just state for the record, I am no Governor Kathy Hochul apologist, but she does have it right here. And I just think that this is the end result of importing all of these, you know, you import the third world, you become the third world. You import all of these foreign born voters who, as you see, the polls show that Zohran Mamdani is being held up by all of these foreign-born voters who are now, of course, naturalized citizens. And so this is the end result of that, is you have this guy who is completely antithetical. His policies are completely antithetical to what this country represents, to what this country was founded on. And you have a Democrat who actually understands that. It's like, you never go full commie, okay? Kathy Hochul's like halfway there. You never go full commie. And Kathy Hochul even knows that. And Kathy Hochul is not necessarily good at her job or even that smart. But even she knows that you can't just keep taxing people into oblivion and expect them to stay. She's probably looking at states like California as well, where Governor Gavin Newsom has had this mass exodus, a lot of which happened during COVID, as you pointed out with New York as well. He's had this mass exodus because what have they done? They have raised the taxes. They have raised the cost of living. Nothing has gotten better. You have these people who are paying an absurd amount of money to live there, and they have to do things like step over human feces as they're walking to work. I mean, that's just a totally unworkable situation. Mm-hmm. And people will be voting with their feet. She knows that. And so, I mean, I just think, you know, again, New York, you get what you deserve. I just don't want it to have far-reaching ramifications that affect me because these foreign-born New Yorkers decided to vote in a commie.
Yeah. And speaking of human feces, I want to bring up Ilhan Omar, because in clip 12, Ilhan Omar is going after Chuck Schumer for not endorsing Mamdani. Obviously, Chuck Schumer, he's kind of crazy. We don't really like him here, but he hasn't gone full-blown commie yet. And those within his party who are very radical are jumping on board to try to bully him to go full-on commie. Take a listen.
Hakeem Jeffries, your leader, has, somewhat reluctantly, but has endorsed Zohran Mamdani. Chuck Schumer still has not. Why do you think Chuck Schumer has not endorsed Zohran Mamdani?
I really don't know. It makes no sense. We as Democrats have always believed that in an election, we support our party's nominee. Schumer has pressured other Democrats to do just that, and he should be following his own advice.
Do you think religion plays a role at all?
Well, the tsunami of the anti-Muslim attacks that we are seeing is deeply concerning. And I would hope that the Democratic leader in the Senate would recognize that.
She has no problem addressing the anti-Muslim attacks, not the anti-American attacks and the terrorist sympathizer comments that he's made in the past. Chuck Schumer, I mean, again, I'm kind of rooting for him for not endorsing Mamdani. What's your take on that, Sarah?
Yeah, I 100% completely agree. And can I just say for the record, Brianna, I am so sick to death of having these foreign-born nationals, these refugees, come into my country and then they're going to lecture me on American politics. I am just so sick of it. Ilhan Omar represents Somalia. She has said it herself. She doesn't get to come in here, take advantage of our resources, take advantage of our refugee programs, and then come and explain to me how American politics work. It is absolutely absurd that she thinks that she is in the driver's seat, that she has the right to lecture someone like Chuck Schumer on American politics. But all of that aside, of course Chuck Schumer is right, but what you're seeing is this culmination of the radicalization of part of the Democrat Party. The rest of them are still somewhat level-headed, somewhat not moderate, really, but they understand the balance. They understand how politics work. Unfortunately for them, they're going to have to address the Ilhan Omars in their party because they are growing at an accelerated rate, including people like, you know, Ayanna Pressley, Jayapal, AOC. I mean, you have these people who have these policies, have these ideas that, again, are completely antithetical to America. And unfortunately, with some of these, we've actually imported them. We have imported these people here. We have elevated them to be in Congress, and we need to address that because it is a real problem that we have these people who hold these values, who hold these policies that are totally opposite for what we stand for, and we're supposed to listen to them. I'm tired of being lectured by these people. I just won't stand for it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah, we played the clip here on the show, Steven Crowder's Mug Club undercover team, and I keep mentioning it because I think it's just such a bombshell, not getting enough attention. But they caught someone who was actually working on Mamdani's campaign. He was a canvassing director. I believe he still works there currently. But he was an individual who openly tells someone he's on a date with, I guess, that Mamdani's not someone who just randomly popped up, that this has been in the works since 2014. Now, the interesting part in this is this happened in 2014, he's alleging. In 2018, Mamdani became a U.S. citizen. So it shows that we are literally importing people that hate this country who are running for office and using our political machine against us to come in and attack within. I mean, this is a well thought out. This is very strategical, obviously. Obviously, Ilhan Omar being someone who ran in her community and is someone who hates America and makes that very clear. She only wants to talk about how bad America is while praising Somalia, the country that she allegedly fled, the country that her brother had to allegedly flee as well and had to marry her. For allegedly, of course. But again, this is what's going on around this country right now, and we have to get a grip on this. You know, Atlanta is next. There's a candidate running to run Atlanta. And again, it's another Zohran Mamdani as well. And we saw it in London. It's now happening here. I don't know how many more times I could say that. Americans need to wake up. But it's getting worse, and it's getting really, really bad. It's because also we have really stupid people within, on both on the left and the right, but mainly on the left, Kamala Harris being one of them. She's someone who now is hoping that we could start bringing in more ignorant voters, people who don't understand how our government runs. And she's talking about lowering the voting age in clip 16. Take a listen.
I think we should reduce voting age to 16. I'll tell you why. So, Gen Z. Their age about 13 through 27. They've only known the climate crisis. They missed substantial parts of their education because of the pandemic. If they're in high school or college, especially in college, it is very likely that whatever they've chosen as their major for study may not result in an affordable wage. They've coined the term climate anxiety to describe fear of not only being able to buy a home, but that fear will be wiped out by extreme weather, but fear of having children. It is expected that Gen Z will have 10 to 12 jobs in their lifetime. They are a larger number than boomers. They're a specific generation of people who are going to impact our nation and the world. And I think we must invest in them, but I think that they are rightly impatient with a lot of what is the tradition of leadership right now?
I mean, she's literally saying that these people are ignorant. They have brought into the propaganda that they've been shoving down their throats through the public school education system, and they've given them anxiety about climate change, which is not a factually based argument. And so now we need to lower the voting age so that those people who they've potentially brainwashed, Sarah, could weigh in on the next upcoming election. We've got about a minute. What's your take on lowering the voting age to 16?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is the whole ploy. This was the plan all along. They want to brainwash the next generation. They want to indoctrinate the youth, and they want to not only import the ignorant Democrat voter from abroad, but they also want to, of course, lower the voting age so that they can have more ignorant Democrat voters, because that is the only way that they are going to get their policies passed. That is the only way that they are going to get into office. I mean, this is the same woman, by the way, Brianna, really quick, that said that 18 to 24-year-olds were stupid, and that was why they lived in dormitories. Mm-hmm. That just goes to show you, she knows they're stupid. That's the only way that they're going to get more voters. She knows what she's doing. Of course, you shouldn't be lowering the voting age. Prefrontal cortex isn't developed until 25. Give me a break.
I know. And they caught me early. I was a registered Democrat straight out of high school, because right before I got my diploma, they threw me a voter registration. It was like, come on, pick one. Yeah. And I didn't know which one to pick, so I went with the easiest one. And that's how it starts. And so, yeah, I mean, I probably, thankfully, I didn't vote obviously then, but you shouldn't. I would actually argue the complete opposite. Let's bring up that voting age.
Totally agree.
So you could avoid people
totally
like me
agree.
At 18.
Yes.
It was very bad. Sarah Gonzalez, thank you for joining me today. Folks at home, give her a follow on X. You're doing an incredible job, and you actually have a great show as well, which is Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. And there's no "the" in front of it either, so head on over there. Give her a follow on X. And you're also one of the many people who I've noticed is widely suppressed, folks. So give her a follow so we could beat the machine. Again, Sarah, thank you for being here, folks. We got more to dive
thank
into.
You.
Mike Howell joining us in just a moment to sound off about the FBI doing absolutely nothing. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. For Halloween, it's 25% off at the shop. So go over there right now and buy up. It's time to stock up over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and LA anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
To
the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country that we've been following. Specifically, after the FBI Director Kash Patel made a statement on X this morning, the FBI Director announced that there were multiple arrests made in regards to a potential terror plot that's supposed to happen on Halloween weekend. Now, we've learned more about this, and it appears, according to Dearborn Police, that the arrests were made in their area earlier this morning. But I hate the source, but Fusion Ken, the guy over at MSNBC who pretends to be a reporter, but has for a very long time been a deep state operative, and that's in my opinion, of course, he is saying this on X today, that there seems to be some type of like consensus amongst those within the FBI that Kash Patel announced this premature. Now, here's the thing here. I warned you at the beginning of the show, I had a gut feeling because there was no facts behind it. As somebody who has covered press conferences and major announcements related to this, you usually get more details. There's normally a press conference. There's normally a comms team that will send you an email just letting you know, hey, press are happening in 10 minutes or in an hour. So for the director to make the announcement today on X was quite strange, especially because he did the same thing with our FBI whistleblowers. He announced that the whistleblowers and the agency had reached an agreement and that they were both going to be working together soon. Everyone's going to be really happy about it was the announcement. And so I quickly, just to vet it, called one of their attorneys. And their attorney goes, I'm still on the phone with the DOJ, can't talk about it. We're not in an agreement yet, and quickly had to go back to the conversation. It wasn't until a week later did both parties reach an agreement, and then it was announced. Like most things happen, there's a press release that goes out, and that's how we do things in these positions. And also, in case you forgot, sadly, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, the FBI director also took to X to announce that there was a suspect arrested. Now, that poor man apparently had no involvement at all, and he was not the suspect. So the director of the FBI does have a history of this. So since we don't know 100%, I just tell you to look at what's happened in the past and kind of go based on your own assessment. Joining me to discuss is Mike Howell. He is one of the incredible individuals, the president of the Oversight Project, and he's one of the few who's willing to actually call out and criticize both the FBI, DOJ. So it's an honor to have him on today's show. Mike, thank you for being here. This news just broke, obviously, moments ago. And again, the source is someone very questionable, and I will not sell our audience on this, but I could promise you that this has happened before. There's a pattern here. So just based on what we know now, what's your assessment on the director?
Yeah, obviously, if this was another instance of a premature release, it tends to support what is really, the truth and the perception that communications and image has taken too much of a primal focus or over the substance of the work that needs to be done. And the chief object and reason that Director Patel is there is to de-weaponize the agency and hold people accountable internal to that agency. And that seems to have been slightly forgotten. And we've been very critical of that because we want to see it happen. There have been some good firings, but not nearly enough. And Fusion Ken, the fact that he still has sources within the FBI speaks to exactly that, right? You haven't cleaned house to Fusion Ken is busting your great rollout. And I'm no fan of his. He was critical of me and my organization this morning as well. So a lot of things, unfortunately, may be true at the same time. I don't know. Anxious to see the facts.
Yeah. And this is the problem. I've been covering these things for many, many years now. There's always a press release. There's always some type of press conference. It's not just some random to be announced soon tweet. And that's really frustrating because, again, I've been critical of the FBI. I'm not winning any friends over. And sadly, when I reach out for comment to get some more information on these things, even simply asking this morning about if there's a press release coming out or is there a press conference that I should know about, I don't get responses back. So I'm not really winning any friends over at the FBI. But that's not why we're here today. I want to talk about...
Yeah, if you have friends of the FBI, you're in big trouble, right? Like, come on. We've been critical of them for years now, and we're supposed to just, like, suspend all of our personal deeply held views and experience with that agency just because they got a few political appointees. Get out of town. I'm not going to do that. And anyone who does that, I think, is being disloyal to the mission that the president ran on and Director Patel said before he was director. The object of the mission is still the same, and we expect them to execute it.
And that is... Well said, my friend, because that is the truth. I mean, I wouldn't sit here and lie to our audience and pretend like everything's okay. We do praise the good, but you also have to call out the ugly. And I think that's really important here. And you guys are doing just that. I want to talk about this because Arctic Frost obviously was a very big story this week. We found out that our very own Alex Jones was actually wrapped up into that as well. They tried to subpoena his records. They weren't able to get any of his communications. And it looks like now, again, we don't have all the information, but we are digging into this, that there might have been a civil attorney who then coughed up that information. Now, again, we don't know 100%. So we're just kind of trying to figure this out. But this has been a wide net that was cast amongst those who are not even really associated with the president's, maybe not even there on J6 that day. I know America First Legal wasn't even an organization that day, but they were still targeting all of this. In fact, this really only was started when President Trump announced that he was interested in running for president again. And then that's when all of a sudden they launched Arctic Frost. So there's a lot here, but Arctic Frost was a well-coordinated effort between the special prosecutor and the FBI field offices. And you guys have outlined a lot of these directors who were there at the time who are still in these positions right now. You guys posted this tweet, and I know it was very controversial. So let's talk about this. There have been some people we are told who have been fired, who were involved. They were like the more special agent type, but we still have all these individuals who are leading the field offices. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. Those people got promoted after Arctic Frost. Some of them in this tenure of the new director. And so that's obviously unacceptable. I'm glad that action we're hearing is being taken. These guys are just some of the more dramatic examples. There are a lot more people that were involved in Arctic Frost. As I've said, it was an institutional effort of the FBI. And so there should be a lot more people held accountable for it. I think right now there is an effort to kind of redefine what active participation in this wholly unconstitutional abuse and dragnet placed over people was. In our view, and I think the view of President Trump and a lot of others in the White House and in the public, is that anyone who participated in this, given the gravity of what was underway, should not be working there anymore. And so that's what we're pushing for. And, you know, when things are told to us, like Hoover is going to be, the Hoover building will become a museum, it's based on the same theories that we're pushing out now. So we're nothing if not consistent in that the abuses deserve accountability. And that's why we're pushing. And I prefer we didn't have to tweet it out publicly, but such are the things that move the needle.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I've noticed that. I know a lot of people are very hypocritical, or they're very critical, I should say, about us openly going out there and voicing our concerns when it comes to certain issues. But sadly, Washington, D.C. runs on Twitter, runs on X. I noticed that if I put out a tweet that may be considered controversial or maybe going after whether it's the DOJ or FBI and criticizing them to some capacity or a breaking story that they may not like, that I suddenly get text messages and phone calls, and I'm assured that things behind the scenes are being fixed and to, you know, not go all in on these types of things. But it's kind of crazy. I'm sure you, I won't speak for you, but you may have received these calls too. But the reality is we get these calls as journalists, and it's not just me, it's others. And they're not happy when you're not positively speaking about these organizations, these agencies, but they're not making the necessary changes behind the scenes to get this stuff done. A lot of the times when I'm asking about tossing out these individuals that you're calling into question here, I'm told that it's a personnel matter and they can't comment on these things. Is that really the truth, though? Can they not tell you specifically who they're firing and who they're bringing back in, or what the penalties behind the scenes are? Because that's what I'm told, that things are happening. Just trust things are happening, but we can't tell you exactly what's happening because it's about personnel issues.
No, that's not true at all. It's complete baloney. You can certainly announce personnel movements. You can announce the conditions you're setting to remove people, such as if you participate in these things, we're going to put you on administrative leave or reassign you to a place where you can have no involvement in any of these things. And that we know that to be true because that's how it's always happened in the history of these agencies when people have, you know, gone through these things. And Fusion Ken seems to find out all the time. Yet your expectation from a lot of people in the political class up here is nothing more than to clap and applaud, and whether it's connected to results or not. And I think I refuse to do that. And that's not to say they're not doing great things at the same time. Like, there are things we do applaud that are great. And I think that is the best way to keep the president's mandate and the agenda he laid out and what the people voted for on the table, is to not settle for less just because it might affect somebody's political standing at the moment, in whether in the media or in, you know, the administration. And our job on the outside is to be honest and be fierce and advocate for the same things that got us to this place in the first place. We know the people want.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people want more. They want more from the FBI. They want more from the DOJ, and rightfully so. So we'll keep following that. I also want to talk about clemency, because Joe Biden, obviously was apparently behind auto pen, some are alleging. Those on the left want to say, oh, yeah, he knew what we were all doing. But that's not the case. The auto pen scandal is one of the biggest scandals because they were utilizing the auto pen at their own discretion, it looks like. And right now we are talking about a man who was given clemency, surprise, surprise, and now has been charged with allegedly shooting another man. Again, this seems to be an ongoing issue. People were granted clemency. I've talked about a pedophile that was granted clemency who was a Chinese national with over 47,000 child pornographic images on his device. He was released and he was sent back to China. And while nobody else wanted to talk about it or cover it, I was wondering, why are we sending the CCP back to one of their own? And who the heck actually authorized that? Again, it was AutoPen. What are you seeing here from a lot of these clemency cases? Because it looks like it's AutoPen behind this. But again, we now have another individual who is accused of shooting someone else after he was released.
Yeah, so January 17th of this year, 2,500, quote-unquote, nonviolent offenders were released by AutoPen. It turned out a lot of them were violent offenders. And now, obviously, they're committing more crimes, like the least surprising thing ever. Mm-hmm. Here's the real issue. Not everyone was released during the Biden administration. Some were released this summer. So the ghost of the AutoPen is still affecting the decision-making by the Department of Justice under Trump to release these people because the lawyers don't want to do what the president says when he says the pardons and AutoPen actions are null, void, vacant, and of no further effect. And so really the AutoPen is still having managerial control throughout, you know, the Department of Justice in the Trump administration under the supervision of AG Pam Bondi. That to me is absurd. It's out of line with the president who said over and over again that he views these things as having no legal effect. President Biden himself told the New York Times after we blew this up that he didn't grant these actions. He said broad categories and staff filled it in like a Mad Lib. And so there's no question these things are no good. And, you know, ultimately, we think that to make good on what the president said, the Department of Justice needs to rearrest these people and not release any of the other people that are still in prison that have had their sentences shortened but will be released at a future date. And so it's time to pony up and to stop talking about it and do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we voted for. And we have a very limited amount of people who I know are fighting for all of that. And they're behind the scenes, though, of course. One of the individuals we talk about quite often is Ed Martin. Obviously, he's a friend to many within this movement. Many were very excited to hear that he's making his way over at the DOJ, even though they refused to confirm him. We were hoping, and we still are hoping, that Ed Martin is able to carry out the duties of the weaponization division over at the DOJ. But he continuously gets attacked, and CNN actually did an article yesterday. And although the headline was pretty badass, I don't know if I'd call this a hit piece, but the weapon of justice is Ed Martin, according to CNN. And then they go on to say in the story that Ed Martin is a threat and want to be taken very seriously. What do you make of the attacks on Ed Martin? Because for those at home who don't know him, he is a patriot. He loves his country. He was heavily involved in demanding justice for the J6ers who were wrongfully dragged into jail in the D.C. gulag. And he's made this his life mission, it seems like, to go after those who have hurt these people. What do you make of CNN trying to jump on board and go after him now?
Yeah, the only thing that surprises me is they know how to make really cool headlines. I mean, that's what we call a framer in the business. I mean, they make him sound very cool because he is very cool. And you know what? They should be afraid of him because all these pieties and people that CNN has held up and defended over the years are also subject to the equal application of the law right now. And that's what Ed Martin stands for. And it makes a lot of them uncomfortable because he's actually pursuing, you know, evening out the playing field and de-weaponizing the government. It also makes a lot of institutionalists at the department right now uncomfortable because they don't want to be doing that stuff. They're politically out of step with the notion that we're going to apply this both ways and we're going to end the weaponization of government, and that's how you do it. And so Ed Martin stands for that. The eagle is soaring right now, as we like to say, and CNN is right to be worried about that.
Yeah, yeah, and we hope that Ed Martin is thriving over at the DOJ because we need him in there. He's one of the very few who I trust when he says he's launching an investigation or he's demanding answers. I know that he's actually doing just that. It's just not a quick talking point. So that is something that we do love to see. Mike, I want to thank you for joining us, of course, and all the incredible work you're doing over at the Oversight Project. Folks, if you haven't followed him, you should do that right now, like right now. One of the very few who's brave enough to go out there and push back on this narrative that they're trying to sell us. And he doesn't fear people being upset by the truth. So give Mike a follow as well. Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you for the kind words. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, we've been following a lot, as I said. I'm waiting to see if the FBI is going to give us any more information regarding that so-called terror plot that they alleged that they had foiled. Now, they're saying, of course, this was going to be a terrorist attack carried out possibly on Halloween weekend. They stepped in and they made this arrest. Initially, they said Michigan, but they didn't give you any more details. But Dearborn, Michigan police went to Facebook and did announce that the FBI made arrests this morning. Again, we're hearing that this announcement probably was a little too premature before the arrests were actually possibly made. Again, not 100% confirmed. But we're following that story, and I think it's an interesting one as it develops, and we'll keep you posted if we do hear anything. As many of you know, the Dearborn, Michigan area has been taken over by Islamists. And so when we hear that arrests have been made, and according to one report, these were young men, the head scratcher, but only a few probably know right now. And I just really hate when they do this, when they drop a sentence and say, oh, give us clap for us. We did great. It's important to know that the Michigan FBI field offices have historically been involved in setting up Americans and pretending like they are terror plots. Again, the Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot, all the FBI. But they found a small group of men who they could go after. They can manipulate online. And they claim that these groups of conservative men, this group of conservative men were a militant group ready to go out there and kidnap Whitmer. When in fact, it was a lot of people on the FBI's payroll who were involved in that. That they gave them weed and they gave them alcohol and they had them say all these crazy things when they were drunk and high, and it was included in the indictment against them. Some of them were found not guilty. Others are actually still sitting in prison. There are two right now who are sitting in federal custody. Sadly, the White House has not pardoned them. When I sat and actually did an interview with Ed Martin, I asked about that. Ed said he was looking into it, and then quickly that took off. And then the Governor Whitmer came out and said that she did not want that to happen. She was infuriated at the idea that that could happen. And according to her, she spoke to President Trump and he said that wasn't going to happen. And so far, those two men are still sitting in federal custody. Actually, they are in one of the worst federal prisons in the country. In case you're wondering too, the DOJ runs the Bureau of Prisons. And so when there's lawfare or there's victims of lawfare in the DOJ or Bureau of Prison Custody, I should say, those at the top of the DOJ actually would have a lot of influence in helping improve those living conditions. Sadly, I've addressed this with the DOJ directly, and we've gone nowhere on that. We've gone nowhere. So that's what's happening there. Also, Jack Posobiec just posting this, and I haven't had a second to kind of read through it, so we'll figure this out together right now. But Posobiec just flagging this for us, saying there's a new Substack report out regarding the Charlie Kirk assassin suspect. Apparently, this is including reported text messages, images, Discord chats leaked from Tyler Robinson and his boyfriend, which is apparently a transgender, Lance Twiggs. Again, he is accused of killing Kirk. According to this report, there was rampant drug use, extreme sex, leftism, transgender ideology, and several mental health issues. An obsession with ChatGPT. There are text messages in here, and I have not had any time to vet this Substack article. So take it sparingly. You know, I'm somebody who likes to vet, but Posobiec, when he pushes something over to you, it's probably a big deal. So again, this has not been vetted. This is based on an independent journalist who has released these messages and is making these allegations. So we'll continue to follow the story as it develops, but there's a lot of text messages here. A lot of text messages. There's also a lot of devices. It's kind of weird. Photos of that. Random sketches on post notes as well. Just kind of scrolling through the images, and I'll tell you again, this is not confirmed. This is being released by an independent journalist. As I scroll through it, there is a graphic image of appears to be a used condom, so we'll spare you that. Yeah, it just looks like there's a lot of chats. And we'll have to dig into this a little bit, but this is interesting. It looks like dozens and dozens of chats have been posted. Even I'm seeing one post of a No Kings rally as well being highlighted in a Discord chat. So we'll continue to follow this as it develops, of course. That is Jack Posobiec, who has put this on our radar. And I will do just that. We'll make sure we dig into this because this is important. This is very important. And again, this is an individual who was accused of assassinating Charlie Kirk. They said originally that he actually admitted to his father that he had done so. but now he is saying that he's innocent. His father, who was a member of law enforcement at one point in his life, turned his own son in, according to reports, after he confessed. Again, these are all reports. He has since decided that he is not guilty of these crimes. He has a legal team now. And his recent appearance in court, which I would listen in on, was a Zoom appearance. He was not on camera, though, but he did ask a judge to not have to wear, obviously, the prison clothes that they're given, to go in casual, regular civilian clothes. The judge did grant that motion, but the judge did not grant the motion for him not to be shackled. The reason why they did this is because they're saying, you know, they don't want the presumption that this individual is guilty as of yet. So that's what's going on right now. Also, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Because right now, we're kicking off the Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales by starting it up now. Right now on the website, it's 25% off site wide. That's every supplement like That's every supplement like Methylene Red, Life Force, and every shirt or hat or hoodie. You can get it right now, 25% off. We just launched this today, and we have really cool bats flying across the website. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. All supplements include the incredible Methylene Red, are 50% off when you sign up for the auto ship option. And that also ensures that your supply never runs out, of course, so you always have a supply coming in. That's really important, folks. The auto ship feature is one I highly recommend you take advantage of first, because it's going to save you 50% off when you sign up for it. But also, it's great just to get these items delivered to your front door without having to worry about it. Plus, when you sign up as a VIP, the number one way to save, you can cancel any time, just to remind you of that. It's just $30 a month. Plus, you get a $40 store credit. It's incredible when you compare up all of that. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Right this very second, indulge in our pre-Black Friday Cyber Monday sales that are going on right now. It's a great deal. It truly is a great deal. And the hoodies are awesome. We've got some great ones up there. So take a look over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, a lot happening. We're still waiting for the FBI update. Nothing yet. This is what I can't stand, this stuff. I cannot stand the fact that the FBI director is sitting here constantly dropping things but won't tell you all of the details. This isn't normal, folks. I've been covering these types of things. I've been covering news for over a decade now. Like, I don't want to age myself, though. But normally there's a press release that's put out. The comms team does just that. That's why earlier today when I broke that story about the Texas AG reaching that settlement agreement, how did I get that? Well, because they put a press release out and they sent it to all the media outlets through an email. That's how things are normally operated. You don't just get an FBI director who puts out a arrest made thanks to our agents. We'll talk about the details soon. It was about a terrorist attack that might have taken place. More details, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. But this comes from the same FBI director, sadly, who prematurely released information regarding FBI whistleblowers being brought back in. I know that. I reported that. I called as soon as I saw Cash Patel's tweet. I called their legal team, and they were on the phone with the DOJ. They were not yet at a point of an agreement. That agreement was reached a week later. I mean, it's so absurd. It truly is so absurd. And then there was also the incident with the suspect who had allegedly assassinated Charlie Kirk. That came from the director himself. That wasn't the case, though. That person was possibly, at best, a person of interest. And again, the update regarding that FBI announcement 21 minutes ago, sources says that this was likely a ISIS-inspired plot, but the FBI prevented. That's great news. That's great news. But I have to always look at the court documents, because a lot of the times, especially in Michigan, those FBI field offices over there have set up Americans, like I said to you. A lot of the times when you look at the court filings, you realize that these are individuals who would have never plotted to do any of this on their own, that instead that they were kind of nudged into it by an individual who was being paid by the FBI. So we'll keep bringing you all of that. I know the Alex Jones show will be covering that as well as it develops. I know Harrison will be all over it as well. So there's a lot happening here on InfoWars. Don't go anywhere. There's plenty more to discuss, plenty more news happening all around the country. For now, though, I'll see you here on Tuesday, of course, because big news happening for me on Monday. I'll keep you posted on X. For now, though, the Alex Jones show is beginning, so don't go anywhere.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an ultramethylene blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the methylene blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of methylene blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12, and this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shield your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
Batman, the Bat Computer's picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be Ultra Methylene Red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultra Methylene Red.